Hi, Regis.
Hey, what's poppin', people? The award-winning Drew and Mike show is in the house. In the deals in the D.com studios. Yes, all the hard work, all you hard-working voters.
Thank you.
We have earned the best of Detroit. So how about that?
From vote for the best, do we get a trophy? Can we hang a trophy?
Congratulations, everybody.
I don't know. I don't have any information. I feel like...
What?
Well, I heard they try to sell advertising to the winners, which, of course, I mean, who wouldn't?
It's pretty smart. But
nobody asked about selling advertising. I might consider it.
How were we notified that we won? Did Winchester call?
No, it was viewed online.
Skillion didn't call?
I don't think it's really... It seems a little half-assed on this end to me.
It was viewed online? That's pretty sad.
It was posted. Yeah, pretty much.
We'll take it. I'll take any victory, man.
Yeah, we will. Great. I just wish there was some nice thing that showed that we could screen shoot and make it look like it was a big deal, even if it wasn't. The skyline of the city?
I'm sure Mr. Magoo or Matt Jennings will be on it.
Okay.
Oh, what happened?
Yikes. What did happen?
I don't know. Probably a fat finger hitting something.
Well, just to pass along some good news right off the bat, the Tigers won their second of three in Cincinnati today. Crone with a two-run blast.
Oh, hey, he's paying dividends already.
In the top of the ninth, Turnbull pitched very well. He struck out Castellanos with the bases loaded in the fifth.
Uh-huh.
Two outs. He got nicked three times, I think. And that's a nice win. That's a nice start to the series. I mean, it's July 20. Monday's the 26th, correct? Or is it 27th?
Today is the 26th.
Okay, Monday's the 27th. Mm-hmm. And the Tigers are either in first place or they're very close.
No, they got to be in first place because everybody in the Central was what?
Everybody has a loss?
Congratulations, okay. And go Tigers.
When's the last time Tigers were in first place with August coming up?
Good point.
It's kind of exciting. I enjoyed watching Saturday and Sunday's game. They're both good games.
I'm a little worried that Major League Baseball COVID return has jumped the shark. Did you see the argument in the Pittsburgh Pirates game today?
Oh, no. What happened?
The Pirates pitcher got tossed.
Yeah.
And, of course, the manager had to come out and argue it. But before they argued, both the manager and the umpire put on their masks.
Come on.
Let me see if I can find the video.
Absolutely
for you.
Stupid.
It's pretty dumb.
Well, while you're looking, I'll mention our Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated, taking care of your emergency. Put 877 job done on your fridge. Hey, I like this music for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. It's kind of a calming thing. Or go to the website, 877jobdone.com. If you've got water in the basement, maybe mold removal from what's left behind. You could have mold anywhere in your house, actually. And
you probably do.
It's something I personally would want a professional to look at, and that's what they are. 877jobdone, Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Storm damage, fire damage, mold removal, and COVID-19, the newest debacle out there. If you want your service vehicles, your business, or maybe you've just had some really skeevy people over that you think might have COVID-19. You might want your joint disinfected.
You might want to examine your friendships, too.
That, a lot to think about here. Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877, job done.
You are long gone.
So this is from Major League Baseball on Fox's Twitter here.
Into the lineup and someone has been tossed. Someone in that Pirates dugout has been tossed, and remember, it was Gerard Dyson who had words with the home plate
Shelton
umpire.
Pulling up his mask, the manager for the Pirates. Here comes the umpire.
Manager,
he's got to pull his mask out of his pocket.
Part of an argument is you got to put on your mask and stay socially distanced.
The umpire doesn't even put it around his ear.
Not socially distanced.
He just holds it up to his face.
Don't start fighting with me.
No, when you're yelling like that and you're that close, I don't think those masks are necessarily 100%.
Well, they're absolutely not 100%. They're better than... Oh, he took his mask off. The manager has his mask down.
He's out of control. Maybe that's a way of demonstrating how angry he is, the fact that he took his mask off.
It's back up, though.
Oh, boy.
Were you able to listen in and, like, hear the entire conversation? Because so far with these live games, I've seen so many people posting videos of, you know, Jock Peterson hits a ground out and then screamed, "Oh shit!" You know, just like these really loud expletives.
It happened today in the Tigers game.
It did?
Yeah, Matt Shepard apologized because the stadium's empty. So when somebody yells something, it's really loud.
Apologize. Now,
it's a little awkward.
I thought they were going to be pumping fake crowd noise in. They're not doing that?
They are,
I
but
think
it's
low,
still,
though.
It still echoes because there's no one in the stadium. When they yell, it's still very loud.
Do they need those external mics? I guess you're not. There it is. Oh, fuck.
He sat one into the ground. And
hold on.
Garcia for the out.
That's awesome.
We let that helmet fly, too. Yeah, we're going to see a lot of that, I have a feeling.
And people are going to love it. It's great.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Anne McDonald, and she is she appears on Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix in the edition called 13 Minutes, because this woman who owns a hair salon, God, is her kid smothered or what? Pistol, her son?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He loves mommy. And, I mean, I shouldn't say that. He's been without his mother now for 16 years. But, I mean, he really just went on and on about how he and mommy were closer than mommy and her husband.
Didn't she give birth at a really young age, too?
Yeah, she would have been. She probably would have been 20 or so. And so, you know, Pistol, of course, misses her every second of every day. And I understand that. But she got remarried. She divorced his father, and then she got remarried. And so it was like a battle for attention between the stepfather and the 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. And anyway, she is at her hair salon. She's talking about divorcing this guy, according to Pistol, her son.
Yeah.
She's like, why is she talking to Pistol about this? And she hasn't
even... talking about everything.
Anyway, so...
That's 11, a great name.
In the middle of the day at 11:37, she takes a phone call. All her customers say she's been kind of short. She's a very friendly, very beloved person, and she's a little off. She takes a phone call at 11:37, moves an appointment. And
why
then
don't you just file for divorce?
And then a call comes in at 11:50, and she doesn't answer the phone. Yeah. So they know in those 13 minutes, which is a pretty small, I mean, usually it's very hard to nail down when things happen. There were also two people that drove by and saw her car parked in front of the hair salon, which is like a never, never, never. She always parks. She backs into this particular space. What is her car doing in front?
Where did this happen at again? This is somewhere down south, correct?
It's in Cumming, Georgia.
So, I mean, it's a small town, I assume, so everybody would notice that thing. Plus, the owner of a store would not park their car directly in front of the store.
It's
unusual.
It's completely out of the realm, and these two people driving by also saw another car there, and they saw two people who seemed to be in some sort of a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
One thought it was two females, and one thought it was a male and a female. One thought it was a Lumina, and the other one thought it was, what did they think it was, an Impala? No, not an Impala.
Oh, that mystery.
Anyway, they had the model, a little disagreement. So anyway, they're
great
going
sleuth
through all these possibilities. What happened in these 13 minutes? And they finally find her remains after 600 days. And
Who found them? Hunter?
Of course. Yeah, I think it was a hunter.
If there's one reason not to hunt, maybe it's because they find all the dead bodies.
Sure,
it's always a hunter or a jogger or a hiker. Yeah.
Fisherman.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Hiker.
Fisherman.
Fisherman occasionally.
They do find some stuff.
I forgot about the hikers. Yeah.
Those murders that opt for water are victimized by fishermen.
For water.
The great sleuth.
So... anyway, I personally, I'm like, it's the husband. Of course it's the husband. It's always the husband. And then at the 44-minute mark, if we got a pause, here's
right.
him. They found her after 600 days. She's all over the 45 place.
45 minutes.
No, 44 minutes.
Her remains are all over the place. And so he wants the funeral home to, like, put her back. You just get to hear this. It's so weird.
This guy, by the way, didn't he... like, wasn't he big stuff in that he used to be a detective or something?
Yes, he has a degree in criminal justice. I know, which I don't believe. I want a forensic accountant. In fact, I want to ask Anne, who's her good friend. She's in the special. And one of our listeners, Jason, knows Anne and said, hey, do you want to talk to her about? We're like, hell yeah.
That sure is a mystery.
So, anyway, listen to what The ex, the, no, the husband.
This is the location where we had the table where Miss Patrice's remains were.
That's the funeral home guy.
I asked the people who took care of Patrice's remains, what I'd like you to do is a last farewell. I don't know if that's how I turned it. Is reassemble her.
What?
Lay her out for me.
Bones. She's all bones, right?
Yeah. About 200 bones.
Like anybody wants to do that, too.
I know. What do you have to pay extra for that?
Oh, that's giving me a clue.
The skeletal remains that we received, we placed as best we could in the correct anatomical position. And then when we had that ready and set...
We totally winged it.
I brought Mr. Robb into this room where he had some time with Miss Patrice.
I picked up her skeleton, I mean her head.
What?
And carried it around for a while.
Well, like a
football?
Like Hamlet? Was that Hamlet?
Weird.
Was he juking around the room? Like Barry Sanders?
It was weird.
I think it was Caldwell, and I left. He asked me if I was okay to drive. I was.
Oh, well, then I guess you weren't too affected by
That's
it.
That's the last time
was he
I
snorting her remains?
She's anywhere near intact.
Okay, check out this part.
Probably for a year or longer after Patrice was returned to me, her ashes... She stayed in my bed. I slept with her. It's something that I typically don't share with people. But she was like my teddy bear. Because that's how we used to... You know, that's how we used to sleep.
Okay.
Just brought back good memories.
What?
He's not done.
And yes, I'm protective of Patrice.
He's going to open up the box with her remains. And he's going to say something very weird, in my opinion.
Should be in here.
Should be in here.
Yeah, he
sleeping
it
with it for 15 years. This guy's really creepy. He's really creepy.
Oh, seriously? I have such a raging clue right now.
Those are ashes.
It's just in a...
Listen to this song.
Does it have an urn?
You can see how beat up this box is.
Oh, I wonder why. Tried to kill her again.
I just kept it in the box. I didn't take it out.
Okay, it's coming.
The Great Sleuth.
God, you're weird.
It's so bizarre. Oh. Wait, he's got a knife out because it's still sealed? He never even made it this far before?
No, apparently not. He's so busy with his teddy bear box. He's going to say something about the sun pistol.
There's Patrice.
Gross.
This small 1 pound bag
is the person you murdered.
Cremains for Patrice.
That you murdered.
It's the first time I've seen this bag.
What?
Somewhat emotional, actually.
Okay, hold on.
Hey! No tears.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I'd never share these ashes with anybody. Particularly pistol.
What?
Particularly pistol. Wait, why would you particularly not want to share the ashes with Pistol, her son, who she smothered, well, who wanted to be smothered? I'm not sure. I think it was probably a two-way street. But Pistol loves her like no one, and he's determined not to share her ashes with Pistol, who, by the way, probably doesn't even want to see the ashes, because who does?
No.
I mean, I thought that said so much, the fact that he particularly doesn't want to share them with her son.
He's
jealous of the kid.
He was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him.
This is frustrating because it's not such an unsolved mystery because
that guy
I agree.
Did
I,
it.
I thought it was the least mysterious. It was still a good story, but the least mysterious of all of them.
I finally caught the third episode with the French family you were telling us about.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good one.
It is a good one.
And I got to say, my big takeaway from that is, boy, the police in that town sure are lazy. Or not lazy. They're not in much of a hurry.
They were a little laissez-faire. Speaking of French.
What are you guys doing? It's kind of an emergency in here. The guy's just tooling around France. Just having a grand old time before he, quote-unquote, disappears.
Do you think he's alive?
I don't.
Don't.
Okay. I don't think he's alive.
It was weird. He was going on. He killed his family, his four kids and his wife. And then he starts. And then he starts coming into me. Mm. And then he starts going around to sort of memorial places that, you know, he meant a lot to him and the family.
That's a big reason why I don't think he's still alive.
I kind of agree. It could be a great fake out, though, because he disappears.
That's giving him way too much credit. And plus, the big takeaway, his motive allegedly is because he was such a loser and his dad was a loser and they had no money. So how would he still be making it all this time if that meant so much for him? Because they're talking about how, well, he knew Spanish and that's how I just think if you were going to disappear and he had so much time to do so, he would have left. He wouldn't have made this. That guy was not smart enough to make it look like he committed suicide and then disappeared.
He did totally blow it. The family was, I mean, like aristocracy or something.
Yeah,
and
Versailles,
he blew it all out his ass and never did anything. His companies were apparently total losers. Yes.
In his letter that he wrote about joining the DEA. The unsolved mysteries have been really, really good.
I love them. I do.
They do a really good job.
Great true crime.
Yeah. I got stuck on, which we'll have to talk about it later. I was going to rewatch this one before we talked to Ann, but I got stuck on Love on the Spectrum, the new show.
Oh, that's
on
Netflix. I got to check that out. That sounds really good. Is that on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's a British dating show with people that are on the autism spectrum, mm-hmm. which, you know, when I was telling Brandon about it, you said that you felt maybe it was a little exploitive.
I didn't know because I hadn't seen it. I hadn't heard anything of it. But the premise of it is, you know, they're following around individuals who have disabilities and trying to follow and film their dating. So I didn't know. I didn't see it. I didn't know.
What if it gets great ratings?
No, the parents are heavily involved in it, so they're not taking advantage of them. But we were talking about this too, Brandon and I, that certain people with disabilities are so open and honest that it's really quite charming
and
hilarious.
And oftentimes extremely innocent to the point where,
and also blunt.
Well, that's what I mean.
Koala,
that's
for example.
What I mean. They're really good. When we have time, I'll play you some clips that are pretty good, but they just want love.
Well, who can blame them? Well, and it's probably a very uplifting show.
I don't know. The one guy keeps talking about marriage, and I'm just like, this guy really know what marriage is like. Huh?
I know.
He studied all this other stuff, and he hasn't studied.
The
all roses, my man.
Wow.
The French guy, you know, who was such an absolute failure.
Yeah.
And of course, has the appearance of, oh, my God, he's so successful. Oh, look, he's got all these companies. Reminded me of a true crime show I watched on ID Channel, which has been on Dateline. It's been everywhere. It's this guy. I think his name's Harold Henthorpe, something like that. Anyway, he lives in Colorado, and he chucks his wife down a mountain. He goes
Harold
on,
Henthorne,
okay.
Right?
Henthorne, is that it?
Yeah.
And, okay, he doesn't admit he did that, but he calls and he's like, oh, my God, my wife just fell off, you know, this this particular peak, and she's down there, and we need help immediately. And then he calls back and he's
my
like,
my wife's at the bottom of the pool.
Sounds exactly like that. He's like, oh, my God, if we could find this on ID, it's hilarious, because he goes, I'll pay for private chopper no matter what the cost.
What?
He tries to act like, you know, he'll do anything to save his wife, and it's a really hard place to get to. He's actually studied and found this spot that is so difficult. He's got markers on a map in the car they find later.
Yeah.
And this tool also killed his first wife, it turns out, and was cleared. Listen to this one. This is so stupid. He gets a flat tire on their way home from dinner.
Yeah.
He jacks up the car, and then he goes, oh, I dropped one of the lug nuts. Can you go to the car and grab that?
Oh,
and,
no.
And then you see this foot mark, like this heel mark on the wheel well where he went, wham! And just like,
genius,
oh, my God.
Genius.
The jack broke. My wife's trapped under the car. And, of course, she's dead.
Where was his superhuman strength to save her and lift the car up?
Apparently non-existent.
Did you know what his nickname was?
What?
The Black Widower.
Ooh.
What a turd.
Unbelievably brilliant.
So anyway, this guy got $500,000 in life insurance from the first wife.
Oh, no.
The second one, it was $1 million, and he had like three other policies, so it was like $2 million and something. And
it's a little bit of a red flag.
He had insurance on his first wife's sister that she apparently knew about it, and she said, oh, but, you know, I just assumed that that went by the wayside. No, he'd been keeping the policy up.
Who buys insurance?
No, I know it made in-law. It shouldn't be allowed. It should be illegal.
Once again,
in my
if you're going to murder someone, don't buy insurance on the in-law. I know how appealing that might be, but.
Maybe it was brilliant because it made it look like he's just so into buying insurance. It's crazy.
Well, then buy insurance on everyone.
But this guy, for 20 years, had claimed that he had this yes, I've got a business, and we're putting my office over here because I'll see clients here, and I'll watch the baby because I'll be home like Mr. Mom, and I'll run my business, which was consulting churches and charities on how to raise money.
What?
And I was like, what?
That's
I thought, you know, there probably is a job doing that, but how ridiculous.
That's the dumbest thing.
Anyway, we better call Anne from Unsolved Mysteries.
Business ethics.
I assume she's still in Cumming, Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is Cumming, Georgia, C-U-M-M-I-N-G. I'm going to mention Royal Oak because you are spending your Royal Oak bucks down there, and a lot of you have the bucks and you haven't spent them yet, so get out there and spend them. You've got the $10 off Lyft on the way in. Use go to R-O. G-O, the number 2, R-O. Go to R-O to get $10 off on your Lyft ride in. That's Thursday and Friday from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. And then Saturday, Sunday, all day long, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. And your ride home, too.
Oh, I just started getting a clue.
$10 off your Lyft on the ride home. And there's pretty good rumor that more money's coming. In fact, I think somebody in the media went with this story. Might have been the Royal Oak Tribune. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've got a raging clue right now.
So if you didn't collect your $20, and it's just like money, you spend it anywhere, everybody's involved. It's not one of those things where you're going to go to three businesses and go, we don't take this. Lily's and Mesa and Hail Mary's and all those places you go and roll, including retail. So there you go. And then while I'm at it, I'll mention Zotford and Holly. Things are getting wild over there with the all-new Bronco. Time to reserve your new Ford Bronco with our friends at Zotford. Go to Zotford.com. Follow the link to order your new Bronco Sport or full-size Bronco, two-door or four-door. The hype is huge. And then they've got the trifecta, the lease trifecta. 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three. Each one as low as $166 a month. Yes, Zotford's trifecta gives you a choice of three brand-new Fords for just $166 a month. Surf their massive inventory and trifecta of deals at dealsinthed.com. And the Hall Financial Hotline is open. And I believe Ann McDonald's on the Hall Financial Hotline. Is that Ann?
Hey.
Hi, Ann. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. I hear that Georgia accent.
Yes. I make no apologies for that. I'm a country girl. So.
Oh, no. It's pretty cute, actually. And Ann is, if you watch this Unsolved Mystery on Netflix, and a lot of people are watching it, she's got the blonde hair and the big brown eyes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Pretty big brown eyes.
Well, thank you.
And you and Patrice were very close. In fact, you hung out at her salon. I guess you'd go in there for a glass of wine at the end of the day often?
Oh, I wish. No, we...
No?
I would go in and just spend time with her because I was a school teacher and our boys were the same age. And at that time, they were involved in after-school activities, and so I would go by every afternoon and just sit and chat. I met her years before. I just walked in as a client, and she used to do my hair, and we became very good friends. And in fact, we took our boys on vacations and did things together. And I can't believe she's gone, and it's been that long and still not solved. And I'm hoping that this show will help bring some closure, much-needed closure for everybody.
You know, they never figured out what kind of car it was in front of the store or who was sort of in some dispute with her in front of the store. And it's so weird that her car is in front of her salon there because she always backed into that one space. And does anyone feel like they know why her car's in front?
No. And, what came to my mind is they're trying to block the view of the door if they're trying to get her out the front door.
Because I feel
like she was in such good shape. She worked out all the time. She would have left some kind of clue, you know, if she was in a struggle or whatever. So my theory is the person had to know her or she would have felt comfortable letting them in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may have held her at gunpoint. They may have knocked her out. Who knows? But I always felt like that car was there to, you know, block the entrance because I know how she always parked. I went by there every day. It was on my way home. So I was there the night before even. And, you know, she said, are you going to come back tomorrow? And I said, you know, I'll be here. And then when I called and didn't get her, I just felt my heart, you know, I knew something was wrong. And then I get there and there's crime scene tape everywhere.
Well, two people said that, you know, the person had the appointment at 9 o'clock and was there for quite a while. And then the person that called at 11:37, who's the last person she spoke to, they both said that, you know, she's known as being just a super sweet person, but they both said she was kind of short. She was something was a little off with her that day. Does anyone understand? Do we know why she was off or what was wrong?
No, because like I said, I was there the night before and everything was normal. So I don't know if something transpired between that time and the time that, you know, she was taken. You know, she and I talked all the time and really shocked me. I don't know. But somebody knew something. That was a very busy road, and I find it very hard to believe that nobody saw anything. That was a very well-traveled road.
It was 16 years ago in 04, April 15, yeah. 2004. We should probably get to the crux of this thing. We think we know who did it.
I think the internet knows who did it, too, because it's really exploded recently. I don't know if you've seen that or not, Ann.
No, I haven't, but, you know, I told the authorities when I was questioned how I felt and what I felt, and I'm not the only one that felt that way. There's just something, it's always been fishy to me. I don't know. It had to be somebody that she knew and that she felt comfortable with. And
well, we have our selection. Go ahead, spill it, Mark.
I think Ann would agree. It's Rob. It's the husband. And we played a clip with his bizarre behavior at the funeral home and with the ashes. And I just wondered what you felt, because you didn't see that, I'm sure, until you watched Unsolved Mysteries.
Well, I had been around him before, and she and I had had discussions. You know that he wasn't the father of Pistol, her son.
Yes.
And I knew from watching him and the time that I knew her, he was a very jealous person. He was jealous of males and females, even me. He did not want her to have close relationships with anybody. And I thought that was very strange. And I don't know. There's just, I mean, did you notice in the interview, too, that at the beginning, didn't he mention something about, I have a degree in criminology? Is that
true, by the way? Can we get a forensic accountant to check on that?
You know what? I wouldn't believe anything he says. I'd have to see it in writing, and it's probably one of those doctored universities or something.
Trump University.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's strange to me. He was very strange, and she used to tell me, you know, she would hide money I think she was afraid of him at some times, you know. I don't know if he was ever physical with her but
didn't she tell... Pistol said that she had talked about getting a divorce. Now, is that something she ever shared with you?
No, she did not. Not recently. But like I said, I saw her every day. And I think there were things that she didn't share with me that she was trying to take on by herself. And this was probably one of them. I'm sure she would have told me when the time was right. But like I say, it was always, I was coming back from school, dropping by to see her. But we were very close. Like I said, we took our kids on vacations. And, I mean, that was the other odd thing. He would never they never went on a vacation as a family. He despised Pistol, which I could never understand. I questioned her about that. I'm like, Patrice, why would you even be with somebody like that? I mean, I'm divorced. I've been divorced for years. But I'm not going to be with somebody unless it's a package deal. You love my family if you love me, and if you don't, see ya. You know,
so in other words, he would take her somewhere nice for vacation and leave Pistol at home?
Well, yeah, or with friends. Or the only time Pistol would get a vacation is when we would take them. We went to the beach together because our boys were the same age. We took them to the beach. We went skiing in North Carolina. We did things together because that's the only way he could have a vacation with his mom.
And did the husband go on those vacations?
Oh, no. God, no. No, no, no. No.
No.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to be around her with Pistol. He'd be too jealous.
Yeah, and who puts their kid out you know, I found out things during this interview that I didn't even know. Like, from the time she went missing, I didn't know from that point on he never was able to get back in his own home.
Oh, yeah. We should explain that. When his mother was missing that very day, he went home at the end of school and talking to police, and the locks were changed.
Yes.
Which is like, I thought, this can't be true, can it? But no, the jealous husband said, oh, he was a big mental drag on me. I didn't want him around. So he stayed with his father.
It wouldn't take much to be a mental drag on him, to be honest with you.
He's a mental drag, isn't he?
Exactly. Well, I'll be honest.
How could you do that to him?
I don't know. I've never understood him. I've always felt very creepy around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Patrice telling me one time that he had this thing for blonde women and da-da-da, and that sent her for a red flag right away. And after she was missing, he sent me an email and said, let's meet for lunch and talk about Patrice. And I never answered the email. I'm like, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah, he's not your type anyway, is he?
Well, I don't know what my type is, but it's not that.
That's what, you know, that I was thinking that while I was watching this. Patrice is pretty. She sounds so nice and just sounds like a nice person in general. And I thought, why is she with this guy? I mean, it sounded like they just had this beautiful relationship, and then it all changed when they got married. Is that kind of the way you saw it?
Well, I think looks are deceiving. I think, you know, at the time when she was younger, and she would probably tell you this, she worked very hard to get from where she was to what she had in the end. And I think he maybe was a means to an end in a way that, you know, he was like a father figure. He was like 20 years older than her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I'm like, I don't care. I'll be by myself before I know. No way.
So,
she was so good, you know, and she was kind, and she was just everything, you know. I can't believe that she was taken so way too early.
38 years old.
Rob exhibited such weird behavior in the Netflix show. What other weird things, maybe not even associated with the murder, have you seen him do over the years?
Well, he would come into the shop a lot of times when she was, you know, she had customers. And, you know, just I liken him to being a school teacher, like a helicopter parent. He was there constantly. And a lot of times it was under the guise of fixing things. You know, he was the handyman working on things around the shop. But I think a lot of times it was just to eavesdrop and just be nosy, you know.
Yeah, his helicopter husband.
But did you see other moments? Did you see other moments where he's really controlling of her?
Oh, I knew he was controlling based on what she told me.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, most of our time was spent with our boys and with each other, because that was her downtime too. She felt comfortable with her friends. That's why we went there, and it was like a sanctuary, if you will. It was kind of like a Steel Magnolias. I mean, you know, she was the glue that held it all together, and we all came in there and we shared our lives and our problems. It was like a daily soap opera. But I knew that things weren't always great, and I knew that she always tried to work things out for the sake of, you know, Pistol and everything. But probably there toward the end, I'm sure she was wishing for a better life, you know, but she was stuck, you know?
Yeah, it was really, really sad. And you know, that Rob guy said during the Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, he said that Pistol was jealous of him, which he just spoke so disparagingly of this 16-year-old kid. And just that he was a big zero. And I don't know, anybody that speaks that way, especially of his dead wife's son, who he would have to know she was very proud of. I mean, it's just an awful person. If it isn't him, it should be him.
Yeah, he did that all the time. And you can imagine at such an age where everything is so, you know, that's a tough age anyway. So I'm sure Pistol was, you know, he was having to listen to this every day, you know, about he's a loser and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. And I don't know. It just, if anybody was jealous, it was the other way around, because he didn't want time taken away from him, you know?
Yes.
I don't think.
No, he was jealous of everybody. What was the deal with the wedding ring? Because that was another thing that was kind of weird.
Well, apparently they're looking for that too. That was, I guess, taken. I'm sure she had it on.
Yeah.
She always wore it. And considering her body wasn't found till what, 2 years later, almost mm-hmm. 2 years later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's pretty important. If anybody sees that wedding ring, or if it shows up in a pawn shop or something, you know, I mean, it was very unique.
Well, I was going to ask you, what physical, do they have any physical evidence? Obviously, they can't connect it to Rob because he's so guilty and he did it. What physical evidence do they have?
They don't have any that I know of. But then, you know, the police are trying to keep everything, I'm sure, under wraps that you know, until this is solved. But there's not any that I know of to speak
no.
of.
No, not well. She was out. You know, her remains were out there for almost 600 days, I believe it was. Well, Ann, you're a good friend to go to bat for Patrice and to try and help. And it's you know, a fabulously interesting story, as sad as it is. And we appreciate you giving us some time and helping us with this.
Well, thank you guys for contacting me, because I feel like the more people that hear the story. I mean, you never know. It's been what, 16 years?
16 years, yeah.
DNA, things have changed. You know, we've got the technology now. I pray that somebody will have a conscience and the truth will come out. But well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, yeah, something. And we know it's that guy. Nobody acts like that.
The internet, I mean, there's tons of tweets about this guy. He's basically the new Carol Baskins, where we know he murdered the person in question, just like Carol murdered her ex-husband. But you can't arrest
them. What are people
on
the internet saying? Are they coming to any interesting conclusions?
That whole clip we played is just the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. No, it is really weird.
But it's the evidence that everyone knows this guy killed it. You don't act that way. But I guess we all grieve differently.
I tell you, it's one of those...
So weird.
I noticed on ID Channel and in Netflix True Crime, too, they do a lot of small-town true crime.
Yeah.
And it always makes me want to... I always think, I think I would like living in a small town. There's something so charming about it, and it seems so... almost like you go back in time, and the people all seem so friendly, although except for this creep.
Too slow.
Yeah, it would be a little slow. I mean, it wouldn't be something I'd want to do forever, but it just looks so charming. Yeah, I would eventually. Hall Financial sponsors the Hall Financial Hotline, where you heard Ann McDonald, friend of Patrice, who's the subject of Unsolved Mysteries. 13 minutes is the story. And Hall Financial wants you to know, and we keep hearing from people. This is really funny. I got an email from somebody who said they were very disorganized, and they felt really bad because it took... Hall Financial, I want to say like 30 or 40 days to refinance, but it was all their fault, so they felt that they dragged Hall Financial's average down.
That sounds familiar.
David Hall really enjoyed Thanks. That. He thought, that is so cool that a customer would feel bad about screwing our average up. And they were very happy to have the business. If you're anywhere over 3.5, it's just one of those things, you just have to do it, because you're going to do very well for yourself. At least you have a shot at it. Go to our webpage, click the link, fill out the form, and they'll get back to you very quickly. Or call 248-308-5000. Hall Financial offers lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. Sit hut. And they are an equal housing lender. And Klimek Law wants you to know, attorney Tad Klimek, he's a guy that listens to the show, has for a long time. He talks in drops. He's even shown up at some of the listener get-togethers. Tad practices exclusively in Chapter 7 liquidation and Chapter 13 restructuring. Nobody wants to be in this situation, but it does happen. And why not talk to a listener of the podcast who probably will tell it straight, as Tad has helped ease the anxiety of several listeners. In fact, the human Xanax is what some people call Tad already. For the way
I never went bankrupt.
You can take off your shoulders. Consultations are free, and since there's no personal hearings, you got to do it over the phone. So it's very, I mean, it seems so easy and quick. Being done via phone and video. So go to KlimekLawOffice.com. That's K-L-I-M-M-E-K, LawOffice.com. And if you're feeling the pressure, talk to Tad and find out what your options are. And sometimes getting there first or getting there sooner is better. K-L-I-M-M-E-K, LawOffice.com. Have a chat with Tad and know your options before you don't have any.
Just stay good at what you're doing, which is, I guess, being poor.
You will not say that.
No,
you don't. I don't know. Maybe you will. I don't know. Probably not.
Well, did anybody see 48 Hours last night?
I started watching it, but I don't know what. Was it a rerun?
You know, I don't know if it was or not. It was about this guy.
Asian?
He's a twin.
No. A Hispanic woman, right?
Yeah.
They were cops? I did see it.
He was a cop.
Him and his twin brother were cops.
Oh, the twin brother's a cop, too.
I thought so,
okay.
Yeah,
and she was Hispanic, I guess.
Yeah.
But he married
Cabrera. Wasn't her last name Cabrera? Because I was thinking, is she related to Miguel?
Oh, was it Cabrera?
I thought it was Cabrera.
It could well have been. I just, you know, I think I was a little in and out while I was watching it, but it was actually a great story.
I clearly was.
And
no.
Erica Sandoval was her
name.
I think.
There you go. Yeah.
Pablo. You think of Pablo?
Oh yeah.
You're right. That was my thinking.
So Daniel Green is in this really toxic relationship with Erica Sandoval, and it's one of those things where, you know, his friends are all like, "Oh God, can we get him away from her?"
That green thing today was enough.
Yeah, that's actual audio of Daniel.
Her? No.
Very toxic. It sounded like it was toxic on her end.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah.
So everything's squared away. He's done. It's over. Thank God we have Daniel Green back. Of course, his twin is very excited. And then, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she really is pregnant.
It sounded like the sex was good in that relationship, because I can't think of any other reason they stayed together.
Well, and they also, when they were horribly at odds, they still would bang occasionally.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was probably cost him his life. So finally, after the child's born and more toxicity and messiness, and it sounds like she was very possessive.
Yeah,
I think that was really the problem.
I thought she did a wonderful job on The Stand, though.
Oh God!
Did you see her on The Stand?
Yeah, I did.
I don't think there's ever been a worse defense witness for themselves than her on The Stand, because she made that bodacious claim.
What story?
What was the claim that she made? And the prosecution
about the child porn.
Well, the child porn. Yeah, that she went into the safe. Which, how'd she get in the safe?
The safe was open. She said the safe was open, and she just got child porn sitting in there.
What did she do with it?
She just left it there.
And we all know, if you have child porn, you don't just have two images like she claimed. You have like 40,000.
No, that was.
But then the defense.
Yeah, did they sell those like in bulk or something? Every time I hear of that, you're right.
I don't understand it.
An exuberant amount.
There's got to be like a 2,000 for two or 2,000 for one child porn deal.
But the defense is like,
sorry.
Well, you know, he wiped his computer clean. Like, I don't know, man. You can still find it. You can still find it.
They said that he erased 1,700 images. Well, he had a ton of images in there, too. But nonetheless, the idea that, they break up for like the 9,000th time.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually finds someone else, and he just posted, here's my new girlfriend, who's hot, by the way.
And
very pretty.
And way younger.
Boy, she was 20.
Yeah.
This guy could pull some chicks, man. I was impressed. Well, cops.
Has any relationship ever worked with you? No!
I had no idea how cops pulled chicks until I lived above one in this apartment complex when I was in Virginia. Oh, my God, it was a revolving door of women. It was amazing.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Anyway, Erica is so upset about this post. And she, for some reason, they share custody. They give the child back and forth. She goes over and starts snooping at his place. I don't know if she's looking for her or what she's doing. But she finds a screen open, and she sneaks in the house, and she snoops around. Isn't that when she found the safe open and the two porn images?
Allegedly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
but she didn't. We all know she didn't.
She hears someone coming, so she hides in the closet, and what do you know? She finds a couple of his guns.
Yeah.
So when he comes in, she's thinking, I just found these porn images. Oh, my God, we share a small child. I'm so scared for my kid.
She's trying to protect him, yeah.
Yeah, she's trying to protect her son. Yeah, right. And she shoots him 4 times and kills him.
Yep.
4 times.
Yep.
And then she takes the stand, which is quite unusual. Well, first of all, she lied and said, I didn't do it. What are you talking about? And they said, we have video of you entering the house.
And she didn't have the note, too, with the girlfriend's name and birth date
she
on
did.
It or birth
she had,
year?
She had information about the girl.
She's so jealous.
Well, they didn't really see her. They saw someone going in the house, a female. They didn't know it was her, but they faked her out and said, yeah, we saw you on video entering the house, so give it up. And so she goes, okay, I did it, and I'll take to where the gun is. I threw the gun over here. So they've got her. Yep. Hook, line, and sinker, right? Wrong, because she takes the stand, and it's only when she takes the stand that she reveals this child porn thing. Mm-hmm. It was like Casey Anthony. Remember when Casey Anthony all of a sudden is like, oh, her father molested her. Oh, my God. Nobody knew that the whole time.
Yeah.
So she pulls it out of her ass that I found child porn right before I killed him. And some.
That's a good excuse. Which, that's the only excuse we'd accept.
Which is not something she had revealed in.
No, never.
Multiple interviews. So, you know, it's bullshit.
And rarely, so rarely do people have surprises like that when they end up on the stand. The Perry Mason moment is usually only on Perry Mason or Matlock.
Which is a brand new episode tonight on HBO.
So,
or the Brady Bunch. I saw in the Brady Bunch one.
Is that a new show, Brandon? You're ballyhooing?
I've been enjoying it. They rebooted Perry Mason. It's still the noir. You know, it's back in the day. It's not like it's a modern day type thing. And I think they're 6 episodes deep right now, and I've been pretty interested in it so far.
I made it through a half an episode.
So it's not Raymond Burr. It's not those episodes.
No. It's the dude from The Americans.
Was Raymond Burr... Was he gay? Was Raymond Burr gay?
I don't know.
Why do I think Raymond Burr was gay?
He must have been.
And who was it? He did another spinoff Raymond where he Burr was in a wheelchair.
He was married to Isabella Ward.
Yeah, I think he's gay because of that one interview where he was asked. I'm gay. It's really weird to use a drop for Raymond Burr. Can you imagine Raymond Burr in an interview and someone goes, I'm gay. He'd be so confused.
Yeah, he was. His later account, I think he was.
Wait, he was gay now?
Yeah.
I think he was. I seriously think he was.
Brandon, you put him back in the closet, now you're pulling him out again?
Well, I mean, based on some really deep diving research that I'm currently doing right now.
I don't
think
you have to dive very deep.
I was just a film instructor.
He revealed his homosexuality during his lifetime. It was an open secret.
What's wrong?
Reported,
is he gay or something?
What about his wife? In the press upon his death.
And also, they said he trailblazed for gay actors even when he hid his own gayness.
Wow.
Remember Vifrey. Hiding in plain sight. Explores his homosexuality.
What?
The Secret Life of Raymond Burr. Hiding in plain sight.
Doesn't look like you're stereotypical homosexual.
Oh, this is wild. Raymond Burr actually had stories he had made up that he just nailed Natalie Wood. It was all bullshit.
Everyone nailed her, so who would question him?
I know. Well, it's easy once she's dead to go, I used to nail her all the time. Man, I'm so sorry she died.
I really like putting my penis inside her vagina and then pulling it out and putting it. That's what we all do, right? Right, guys? Who's with me?
So going back to Raymond Burr, then going back to
Perry Mason. I never put it in her buttocks. I hear some people are doing that these days, but never.
That's gross. Poop comes out of
there. Buttocks is disgusting.
And then going back to Erica Sandoval. Buttocks. Now, when you pull out like a revelation like this, is it even allowed to be admissible? And like, I thought that isn't that part of discovery? Isn't that something?
It should
like
be. Yeah, it absolutely
lawyer?
Should be. And I think they objected to it, but they let it fly. Probably because she just admitted she shot him 4 times. So who in the world would find
Your
her
Honor,
anything?
I object.
Well, discovery.
But guilty of murder, except for the one girl who would not vote yes. They had to throw. They had a mistrial, and they have to do this trial all over again now because a girl who the other 11 said was unreasonable, gave no reasoning. There was nothing in her reasoning that made sense in terms of her finding her not guilty.
It's a lie.
But she just said no. She just said no.
They have all her interviews from Discovery, so the defense would have, well, you never asked her. It's but she made it up. It's a lie, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, it sucks.
I can't believe Perry Mason was gay.
I know. This is pretty. There's a lot of revelations
kind of
on the show already.
By that. I also have breaking news, by the way.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Justin Verlander's out for the year.
Yeah. Didn't he wish he would have sat out this COVID short season?
What happened to JV?
He has to have elbow injury.
Elbow surgery?
Yeah. Sorry. Or what did I say?
You said elbow
no,
injury.
No, he just has an injury. I don't know if he needs a surgery or not.
Wow, that's big, guys, because, I mean.
Did you have him in your fantasy team?
He's like the second or third pitcher taken off the board, and no, he was not drafted by Team McNuts. My ace is Jack Flaherty of the St. Louis Cardinals and Chris Paddock of the San Diego Padres.
When asked about it, Verlander said,
"My elbow."
What's he going to cough into now? Can he cough into his elbow still?
Wow, great question.
Cover your cough with your elbow like this.
He can. It's injured.
I'm looking for this Raymond Burr story. Many of the claims Burr made about his life were accepted at face value by his first biographer in a book published. His definitive biographer confronted all the claims head on, demolishing most of them. His book's entitled "Hiding in Plain Sight."
What about his wife? Was she? Was she? Was he a beard for her?
I don't know.
That would be Isabella Ward.
Oh, wait. It's
who I'm sure you've heard of, just like you've heard of that 104-year-old woman who died today.
I know.
The actress that
Olivia,
your great grandma remembers,
Lavadad or
Deville Carellet, something. It's
okay.
Her name was
Olivia de Havilland.
She was some old bird who was in Gone
104.
Yeah.
Okay, so Burr met his first known life Isabella Ward in 43 during his first season. The marriage collapsed within months.
Oh.
Sorry. They divorced in 52. Neither would ever remarry. Oh, so maybe it was a... Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Marriage of convenience?
Yeah, Burr was later insisted Bella was not his first wife. He'd been married previously to a Scottish actress named Annette Sutherland. He probably made it up. He claimed she died...
He claimed she died
in 1943.
Yeah, my wife, she's from...
Scotland!
Scotland. Yeah, she never could make it to America.
I was so upset about it, I never want to be with a woman again. I can't ever be with a woman again. I'd be to be like cheating on Annette, who I loved so dearly.
What?
If I'm ever found with a man, it'll only be because I can't be with Annette.
Oh, except for that time I nailed Natalie Wood.
Oh, yeah. And who could turn down Natalie Wood? She came on to me. I was so hard. What could I do?
She had great feminine
hygiene.
Yes, you
do. You get hard when a woman comes on to you. That's what a man does.
I did. So bizarre.
You know, he was, okay, after Perry Mason, this is ridiculous that we're spending so much time on Raymond Burr, but I can't help it. He would later go on to become Ironside. Yeah. Ironside was a detective, right?
I think so.
In a wheelchair. And I swear to God, I remember episodes where he was like wheeling really quickly because they tried to make the show really dramatic and exciting, but he was in a wheelchair.
Was someone running by him to chase the criminal down?
I think he was going downhill usually.
Oh, okay. So ridiculous.
I know. Why was he in a wheelchair? I guess that was
in reverse, Tim.
That's very open.
It's very progressive of them to put him in a wheelchair. Probably a lot of disabled people grew up looking up to Raymond.
Like Terry. He was
ridiculous. Well, all right. So there you go.
Goodbye, Facebook.
There's your big story today. Raymond Burr was gay.
Facebook. Yes, we were on Facebook. Shoot. See you later, Facebook.
But he was not happy about it. So JB's out for the season.
Yep.
Wow.
God, that is just, it's so weird for him. It seems like he never gets injured, but he did get injured, actually, before. He was hit about 3 years where he just wasn't himself. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because of the core injury.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he rebounded from that and has won some, you know, World Series and a Cy Young last year. And he's, what, 1-0 this year? So it must have happened in that opening.
Oh, he won his first start, too?
Yeah.
Was it dominant?
1-0 this year.
This season is going to be hilarious. What a goofy year. I can't wait to see all the stats.
I wonder if JV really isn't injured. He's just like, this is so wrinkly.
Yeah, my elbow hurts.
Nobody even knows where the Blue Jays are playing. I'm not getting part of this.
Wait, is there an update on the Blue Jays? What are they? Yeah. Are they nomadic? What are they going to do?
They're playing most of their games, home games, in Buffalo.
Oh, I thought it wasn't good enough for them.
What, they have two homes now?
Remember they said it wasn't good enough for them.
Yeah, they did. Okay.
Wouldn't it be better if they played on the road every game but were the home team? And some of them when they were supposed to be home.
Well, I think that might be the case.
What's the point of playing in Buffalo?
They're not playing in Buffalo until August 11th. So
what?
I'm pretty sure they have some.
Oh my God! What a road trip.
Well, so then when they play, isn't that the Nationals? Are they going to be in Washington?
No,
but they're going to be the home team.
They'll be in Washington. Now, what happens is it's supposed to be like a home and home. So actually, on Wednesday, it's supposed to be.
I love this season. It's so
a Blue
bad.
Jays home game, but it'll probably be played in Nationals Park.
Okay, I'm declaring this getting too far into the weeds.
Wonder where their home games were.
Especially when there's this sports story, which is, it's so funny because I was reading it, you know, bit by bit, not really knowing what was coming. I just saw that this guard, Lou Williams. is
in
quarantine. And I'm like, wait, Lou Williams is at Clippers? I wasn't even sure who he was. And so I just start reading it, and it turns out that he's a little bit hurt, and then there was a funeral that he wanted to go to. So he was like, you know, it's like an act of God to get out of the bubble.
Yeah.
So he gets out of the bubble to attend a funeral. It's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry, Lou. I hope everybody's okay, and, you know, we'll be back with a big we'll have a big hug for you when you get back, Lou. Man, what a tragedy. So what happens? He's out of the bubble, and, oh, my God, rapper Jack Harlow posts a picture of himself and Lou Williams at a strip club.
That dude's dying ASAP.
And then here's the best part. What kind of funeral is this? Did they have the showing at a strip club? That's weird. Jack Harlow then takes the picture down and says, oh, that was an old picture.
Yeah, right.
They're both
wearing masks in the picture.
Well, you know. It was an old picture. It was 2 days old.
So then Lou Williams says, I stopped briefly at Magic City to pick up some dinner after the viewing. I mean, it makes it sound like it was just a normal part of the funeral procedure was picking up dinner at a strip club. And, oh, I just happened to get a picture with Jack Harlow. It's crazy.
By the way, the mask he was wearing was one of the NBA-issued masks from the bubble.
Isn't Jack Harlow the kid who sings What's Poppin'?
Seriously?
I'm pretty sure that kid who's pretty...
Is his uncle What's Poppin'?
I didn't know that.
He's a white rapper, and a bunch of our listeners have sent this song in just because it's called What's Poppin'. So here, let me play it for you real quick.
I'm pumped.
Right. Okay. What's Poppin' by Jack.
This is Jack Harlow, ladies and gentlemen.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshing. I'm spending this holiday.
I'm a little surprised Lou Williams is hanging out with this dude.
It was an old picture. Ridiculous.
Sound like an intro jet song. Give me that tempo. Told Pooh he'll fool with the shit. Told her don't let her friends know.
What a great song.
I'm not really sure about these rhymes, to be honest. Is this a big song?
85 million views.
Wow. I heard.
Sounds like a great one.
Tekashi got a $5 million streaming deal. He's going to play live. He's going to play his album live, I guess.
Wow.
Well, I don't know.
It's pretty good. Pretty good money.
Does it seem that, you know, for a guy who committed multiple armed robberies and sexual assaults.
Why you gotta be so negative?
And does it seem that he's come out a little bit unpunished in this thing?
Yeah, entirely. Yep. It shows what money and fame can do.
But it's interesting that nobody on the outside cares. I mean, his music sucks. His music is terrible, but... Apparently, is it his street cred now that is so upped that people want to hear his music more than ever?
I think does the mainstream really even, as popular as he is, do they really even know who he is?
Probably not.
Is he kind of underground, super famous?
I don't know, he gets a lot of streams.
Once again, all musicians just get a pass with everything, it seems like.
Not really. I mean, the Stones had to stop playing Brown Sugar and Some Girls.
What do you mean?
They stopped playing them because...
Well, that was their choice, though.
Well, I think people were ragging on him, though.
Wow.
I don't know. I think there's some. Aren't there some musicians?
Crime,
well, like, look at the guys who have faced the guy from that band Headley in Canada. I mean, he's got.
Oh yeah.
He's on charges of rape. And James Franco. Oh, he's not a musician, really. Franco's just disappeared, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's embarrassed.
Although I saw his brother. Wait, is Dave Franco?
Dave Franco is married to that real smoking hottie,
Allison
Brie.
Right?
Brie.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw her in a movie this weekend about rental property. Is it called Rental?
Hmm.
It's a horror movie? Not a horror movie. It's a scary movie.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
We know it
wasn't the best movie ever, but it was okay.
The Rental?
The Rental.
Yeah. I got to tell you, there's nothing on TV anymore. That's probably why I started watching the Love on the Spectrum, but I can't find anything to watch anymore.
Do you try 90 Day Fiancé?
I can't. I get enough of it.
It's so amusing.
Cliff Notes version, which is good. But it's just, I go through Hulu, and I've gone through Netflix, and HBO Max now. And
I know.
I just
I went to Peacock, and I couldn't find anything to watch.
It's
I just finished up
tricky.
Space Force, so I got to find a new one now.
Did you approve of Space Force?
I liked Space Force. I really thought some of the characters were really, really funny. Brad, the assistant general, and fuck Tony, who is the social media manager of Space Force. But it was, I don't know.
You guys haven't seen The Rental or heard about The Rental?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, let's check this.
There's some funny stuff in that movie.
But wait, you said it was a horror.
It's a scary movie. It's not really a horror movie. But
well, you said the same thing about Vivarium, and I ended up watching Vivarium, and I really liked it. So I'll check it out.
I'm not ballyhooing it. I think Vivarium had some really interesting elements in terms of going for it. This is just your kind of a standard scary movie.
What do you think
they rent a property. Okay, I'm going to say that the audience gave it a 66.
Okay, well, you want to go with some critics?
Critics, I'll say... I'll say 58.
Oh, man, this is the worst you've ever done.
Really? Damn it!
Critics gave it a 72. Critics love it. Audience, not so much, 49%.
Oh, fuck.
So you're basically a critic.
That hurts.
Was Alison Brie nude in it?
No, she was not.
That's because Dave Franco wrote and directed it. Doesn't want people to see her naked.
And produced it, yeah.
Whatever you said there was going to be the other way. Either that or he wanted to be Mark Consuelos.
There are so many quandaries in this movie. One of them being that, let's see, the first night.
It just came out, too, man.
Yeah, it did.
I didn't know that.
It's two couples go to a rental to have a great weekend. You know, it's a beautiful place and beautiful views and great hiking and partying and all that. So the first night, and spoiler alert, by the way, if you're interested in watching this, Alison Brie's husband, whose brother's with
the other guy,
the brother from the other couple, he doesn't want, let's see, what is it? Oh, he's up partying really late, and Allison wants to crash. She's tired or something. And then
buzzkill.
His brother also gets too drunk, and he crashes.
Oh,
so then they get in the hot tub together.
Oh,
yeah. And then
life. This is art imitating life. This is probably something Dave Franco and James Franco did.
So they decide that, oh, no, we can't do that, because they kissed once, and then they heard a dog bark, so they stopped kissing. She's like, oh, that can never happen again. But then she goes in to take a shower.
Cock blocking dog.
I know. He gets in the shower and just nails her in the shower.
Really?
But the next morning, she's taking a shower, and she notices a camera in the shower nozzle. Oh, my God, somebody's got them on tape
banging.
Banging
your roommate that was in the shower.
Yeah. Is that an Airbnb? This is terrible.
It is an Airbnb.
Well, that's why. Who's this creep filming them?
So then they have to get the...
Was he arrested and charged?
No.
Well, that'd be a really boring movie if that's the way it went.
So the girl who would be in the film, first of all, she's already ragged on the rental guy because she actually applied for it first, but I think she has a Hispanic name or something, and she sort of accuses him of being a racist.
Great.
I mean, they're staying there because the other person got it, and she's already, like, setting it up for disaster with this guy. So he's like, no, nothing like that. He doesn't explain how that happened, but he just acts like it's crazy. So that's the guy who's going to have the video. So he's called to the house to fix something by one of the non-participants.
Oh.
And so they're like, oh, no, he's seen me nude. He's seen me having sex.
Spoiler alert.
Freaking out.
Yeah, but she can't tell anybody or else.
I know. That's what I mean. There's so many quandaries in this movie. And she keeps acting like, we have to get the tape. You know, like they're going to get the tape.
No, you're not. Just ignore it.
I know.
Like that guy knows who they are and is going to hold it over her head.
It's ridiculous.
Right?
Here was the tape.
Wow. You are so hot. Unbelievable.
That's it.
Isn't there a major flaw in that plot?
There's a lot of flaws in the plot.
Because
it was fun to watch, though. I can't complain.
So she sees the camera and she realizes, oh, we can't say anything about it or else they'll know that we were banging in the shower. But that guy, what are the odds the guy who filmed them was going to know that they weren't together and... What's he going to put it on the internet?
I think they're just afraid that, that it's going to go somewhere. But if it goes somewhere, then he's in trouble anyway.
That's really silly.
I know, stupid. What we forgot to do? When we were talking about the NBA player at the strip club, we have the strip club's number.
Oh, we do?
Why don't we call up and ask them if they do carry-out food? Because he claimed he was just picking up carry-out.
Oh.
Yeah, it might be tough on a Sunday, but we can try it.
Did you send it to me?
They should be open on Sunday, shouldn't they? By the way, strip club, how is the strip club?
Says they're not.
Oh, they're not?
No, it says that they are closed on Sundays.
Well, what if you're hungry and you're leaving a funeral?
Exactly. What are you supposed the funeral, to do? Actually, maybe it's because the funeral, maybe they're catering another funeral, just like the one Lou Williams went to.
That's really funny. Well, you know. And there's some make good food.
I can't believe they tried to actually. Hey, just say it's an old picture and take it down.
And kind of can't a brilliant you, move in a way.
Wouldn't you love to hear that conversation?
A couple other things that I watched that were absolutely awful. I started watching The Old Guard, which Netflix has been trying to force down my throat. And it's on their top 10 list, which is Charlize Theron. And she plays an immortal that leads a group of mercenary soldiers.
What?
It is so fucking stupid. I stopped that after about 10 minutes. And then something called Money Heist, which they've been trying to make me watch, which I'm watching. I'm going, why did this looks weird? What's weird about this? And it's some Spanish show that they overdubbed. And it's just awful, too. So it's like, I cannot find anything to watch. And then that's when I stumbled upon Fear City, the New York versus.
Oh, I watched it.
Which is phenomenal.
Fabulous.
Three episodes.
I wanted more. I wanted to go into Gotti and all that.
Drew, they could have made that with the amount of wiretaps that they played in those episodes.
It was too short.
It was way too short.
I wanted more. I absolutely wanted more. And it was, like Narcos got 70 episodes. They couldn't get
We want more.
They couldn't get more than three with the New York Mafia?
I don't think
that was Narcos. I think that was the Pablo Escobar drug king one on Netflix.
Okay. Well, Narcos had a lot of episodes, too. Not that many.
But it's basically, and the funny thing, too, is Rudy Giuliani's on there, like a very...
young Rudy Giuliani.
Young and pretty lucid. Interesting Rudy Giuliani, well, like the hero kind.
You know, that's interesting because Rudy Giuliani was a good mayor. He was, he was very involved in 9/11. He got freaking great points Giuliani for that. He took out the mafia.
Yeah.
Nobody did that. The last guy to even try was Robert Kennedy, and look what a mess that created.
Yeah, got himself and his brother killed.
So, And I am in agreement that Giuliani has been really odd ever since he's connected to Trump.
No, before that, he had some questionable business practices well before Trump.
Were they publicized heavily?
No, not until he got involved with Trump and people started publicizing him. I mean, here, well, in this area,
it does seem that once you are connected to Trump, that
everything gets exposed.
There are a lot of negative things that suddenly come out.
But he had some really questionable business dealings. It's almost like he learned everything from those wiretaps with the mob. But it's fascinating how he and his team brought the five families down with the RICO laws and.
It took a lot of balls. It took a completely different legal view of it, too, that sure. They are in concert, that they are racketeering, that they are working together, and that the people at the top are responsible for the people at the bottom, because that's what they kept doing, is busting the people at the bottom, but they never connected them to the top.
Brandon, they had this one scene, so they're trying to take out the five families, but they had to wiretap them. And so they
those stories are so much fun, aren't they?
Oh my!
Yeah,
God,
so we knocked their cable out.
Oh, that was awesome! They knocked the cable out.
They knocked the phone out. They do whatever they have to do to get in there.
I don't know which family that was, but they found out that the guy had cable early on, like well before anybody else. So
I was impressed with the guy, an early cable adopter. I mean, that was pretty amazing in 1980 or 82 or whatever.
And he would watch a lot of CNN because that was like the only thing on cable, but. The agents I quickly started studying about cable TV and realized how easy you can run interference on it.
Yeah.
So they started fucking with his cable, so he'd have to call a repairman out. And the repairman has, you know, his black bag with the bug ready to go to put it in there, and the agent in the van can hear him. It's just like a movie. You can hear him. And he would honestly, like, knock on the TV, like... And then the picture would change because they were manipulating.
It was incredible.
And he had the mobster hold his flashlight while he installed the bug.
And they have audio of a lot of it too.
It's really, really good, man. And then they put that bug in that one restaurant.
Mm.
And so they're listening to it, and you hear one guy go, "Hey, that wire looks out of place." And then the bug ends, and they're like, "Oh shit, we got to get another bug in there."
And what about the bug they put in the guy's car?
Oh. Brandon, they had a they knew that the head of the one family and his driver was like in charge of all the sanitation stuff, so they found out what kind of car he had, bought the same kind of car, and time themselves in placing a bug. Like, had to find the right spot.
Like, we got it down to 16 seconds. We can get the bug in.
It's crazy. So they get the bug in. Then all of a sudden, the guy goes away for a vacation for like a week, and he comes back, and his car's dead because the bug was wired to the battery.
Yeah, the bug drained the battery.
So they had to call a cop, you know, a patrolman, to pull over the tow truck that had the car, because they wanted to tow it back to the garage to fix it. So they had
to take the bug out.
And while he's talking to the driver of the tow truck, they get in the car, take the bug out, and put it back on. And they had to figure another time to get it back in. It's just utterly amazing.
Yeah,
detective work. It was so good.
It almost seemed impossible that it was real, but it was real.
This is Fear City.
Fear City. I can't recommend it enough. People like mafia stories.
If you like true crime, or you like, who doesn't like mob stories? I mean, they're awesome. They're always good stories.
Just bad people, though, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a feel good story, I wouldn't.
Well, that's Love on the Spectrum. Check it out. That's a feel good story.
I'm going to check that out. I'm serious. I'm pumped for Love on the Spectrum. I really.
Can I cue up a clip? You want me to cue up a clip?
So yeah, I'd be very curious to hear it.
It's really good.
While you're queuing it up, I will mention our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. All pumped. Everybody's back at work. They're back at full strength. They've got all the safety procedures in place that you would ever need in order to pick up a car. Or if you're really concerned, or maybe you're one of those people who are compromised, they can deliver a car to you. You can go on DealsInTheD.com. You can look at all their inventory. You can find out what they cost approximately. Talk to somebody on the phone. They've worked out many deals this way. And they have great deals, too, during their Drive Forward event. They've got a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. If you like Jeeps, check out the new 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. And always the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And, of course, there's Wrangler. Yes, get Zot employee pricing for everyone. 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you got to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown is inventory drying up quickly. That means your best selection is today at DealsInTheD.com. And Mr. Luke Nowacki is looking after you and your money and your financial plan. That is, if you have one, and if you don't, you might want to visit with Luke because, let's say you're married and let's say you've got a couple kids, or maybe you've just got a young kid named Madeline and you're thinking about getting her through college and you're thinking about how you and your wife, Kristen, are going to make it to the very end without running out of money. Well, that'd be a good reason to call Luke and have him look over your... Is that little Maddie?
That was when she was really little, like 3 or 4 months old.
I think she might have a good voice. I hear some harmony there. Call Luke and get it together at 248-663-4748. Have a plan, or maybe just a plan for, we've got an election coming up. We've got a pandemic going on. There's a lot of weirdness and a lot of maybe maneuvers that might be good to affix yourself for at least the short long term. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and our marketing names, product services referenced here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. And you can email Luke Nowacki. That is not a song.
I won't.
L. Nowacki at PinnacleWealthStrategies.com or call Luke 248-663-4748.
Here's my man, Michael. He just wants love.
6 years ago.
Well, who doesn't?
Excuse me a second, gentlemen.
He really wants love. Look what he made for his future wife. It's pretty cool.
Oh, what is that?
It's a plaque. I actually made it specifically for my future wife.
When did you make this?
5 years ago.
Wow, you really want this, Michael?
Oh, yes, I do.
Isn't he great?
It's the most important thing that I want to achieve.
Really?
Well, I hope we can help you achieve
that. I can do that. Really hope so, too.
Aim higher, Michael.
Seriously do.
Later this week,
these people ever get in fights with their girlfriends?
So this guy goes on his first date ever. There is a guy and a girl who are presently dating, and they ask, like, wait, what do you like about her? And, like, the third thing he lists is her smoking hot pod. Here's Michael with his here's Michael and his family.
Which is a big mistake.
Compares himself to his brother.
I often label him as a fresh cut of meat from God and myself as a double scoop of dog shit.
Why on earth he wanted to compare himself to me, I don't know, but
it's because I've often felt inferior to my brother. Adam was able to get himself in a relationship easily, whereas I had trouble.
Is his brother
doing
on the spectrum?
So.
No, his brother's a stud.
Oh.
There Here's a little family
dinner. Challenges that you face,
this younger sister.
I think a lot of other people face too, to struggle at some point or another to find, like, proper love.
No, it but wasn't. For some strange reason, I don't seem to recall Adam having any problems like that.
The older brother has no problem nailing chicks.
But Michael, you've seen over the past few years how it just hasn't worked out for me either. Like, it just turns to shit.
That's also because a lot of people our age aren't interested in commitment. They're only interested in intercourse.
Yeah. Look, it's
Mom's
true.
Dying.
What's the problem
Dad,
with that?
Did you drop your food?
Yeah. And also, what I also know is with a lot of girls your age, Liv, when they're still in high school, they only want a boyfriend.
For intercourse.
Not just for intercourse, but also as a bodyguard and as a sugar daddy.
Isn't he fucking great, man? Yeah. When he starts talking later about the kind of girl he wants, it's pretty specific.
He has Asperger's?
You know what? I think he said he did. Yeah. Yeah. I got to find the other guy.
So, yeah, I'm really curious to see the female that he, I mean, does he end up with somebody? I hope.
Well, he, I'm only through like 1.5 episodes and he is on a date with somebody. It's not awkward at all.
How many episodes are there?
It's good.
It looks like there's a lot. 5.
Oh, okay.
He does speed dating too. The speed dating scene. Really, really
cute. Oh, man, I can't imagine that.
Here's one more clip. So there's a girl who's actually really, really cute, and she's just, you know, she's on the spectrum.
She's on the spectrum, too. Okay.
Yeah, she's partially deaf.
Is the spectrum a good place to find somebody if you're on the spectrum?
Yes, it's just really, really hard for them to connect because of the personal communication. So that's kind of what the point of the show.
But as far as attraction, I mean, sexual attraction.
Oh, no, they're horny, man.
Oh, okay.
They're horny. So here's this girl, and she's going on a date with this guy. He couldn't read for a while until he was 13, and she couldn't speak until she was older. But now they're on their date.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they're both attractive people.
Get it on.
Oh, never?
Never. This is the very first one.
This is very first date.
I've never had, ever. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So are you interested in, like, any specific type of person, or...?
I thought I was interested in guys at one point.
What?
But then I tried watching a little bit of gay porn and didn't work out.
Didn't take.
That's weird.
And I did not like what I saw.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't feel anything.
So you're definitely straight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I would have brought that up.
I'm openly bi. But
she's openly bi.
I've dated a few girls before, a few guys. It's just, you know, I'm just trying to find the right person.
True that.
Yeah.
It's like, I like Asians.
Oh, Asians.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm an Asian man.
Okay, yeah. I'm not Asian.
I'm not Asian.
I also like Mexicans. I like them too.
Jeez, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Get your boner under control, my man.
You know, man, well, is she Mexican?
No. She's as British as and white as they come.
Well,
how about that, though?
So he just really doesn't know what he's doing in terms of this conversation.
Well, he knows he's not gay because he looked at gay porn and didn't feel anything. And quite frankly, didn't like it.
I don't think I would have brought that up.
That's what's kind of charming about it, is there's no bullshit, man.
True.
It is just, this is what they are, this is what they feel.
Yeah, not a lot of ill will towards others either.
It's really nice. No, no, they're very, very sweet.
Let's see.
It's a good show.
I got another pretty good crime story. Let's see.
It is Drew Crime Monday.
Yeah.
It kind of is, but... this is a weird story because I just thought it was just another crazy story, just slightly crazy story. I mean, for a crime story to interest me, it's got to be pretty good.
Is this the white? Is this local?
Yes.
Is this the White Lake Township body that was found?
No.
Do you know that story?
Oh, that story is insane.
Well, I didn't.
The one that was found.
What story?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I knew that they found a body, and it was, you know, that's, you don't typically find bodies there.
No, but
I mean,
it turns out she's a very well-known professional poker player.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah, Susie Q is what she went by. Susie Zhao is her name. She moved here to be with her mom I think just like 2 months ago, and then boom, turned up dead, and pulled, you know, from a lake.
Well, I mean, you have to believe the poker has something to do with it, right?
Well, that's kind of what one of the detectives said. One of the White Lake Township police detective said to determine whether or not this is a cover-up or maybe some sort of retaliatory incident because of her profession. I mean, it just makes it a little more muddied.
Was she a successful poker player?
According to the World Series of Poker website, she had earnings of $187,000 and $73,000 at one particular event. So okay. Not the most successful poker player. But
I mean,
still.
That sounds good, but somebody makes $187,000 this year could easily lose $150,000 next year. I mean,
meaning like the big suicide? Winners.
Well, no, the big winners more than that.
Yeah, definitely was. No, you know, I know what you mean. But her body was burned, too. So it's definitely a murder. But she, you know, was good enough to be on those, you know, how you see poker all the time on TV.
Sure.
Yeah, you got
there. It's a wild
I mean,
wild
first you
got
to pony up just to get in there, but you got to qualify and you got to get far just to make any earnings. So
have they. I mean, have they gotten anywhere with the case?
Nothing, no.
Nothing, okay.
Nothing. I don't even know if they knew, you know, how long she... Well, they knew how long she was missing, but...
Well,
33.
This story is about a 42-year-old Battle Creek man who was a... He's a parole absconder on probation, and somehow he ends up in a few police chases, and here's how it happened. Here's how it goes. Started... with him at the age of 18 murdering somebody.
Oh, boy. Wait, he murdered someone?
Yeah, just murdered somebody.
First degree?
You never know. I mean, I don't know that much about the case. He killed a 41-year-old guy who was working his first night as a cabbie.
Oh, Jesus.
Nice. He still maintains he was not the shooter, by the way.
Why? Why did he do it?
Well, he says he didn't do it. Okay. So, well, I mean,
they must have a theory as to
probably steal money from the guy, I assume. Cabbie.
Cab driver?
I know. It's so stupid. It's like, I don't know. It bothers me that I realize he was 18, but 23 years. So he gets out at 41. And for a 41-year-old guy who's been in prison for 23 years for something he didn't do, mm-hmm. I tend to find it a little strange that he gets busted carrying a concealed weapon and then he's a felon in possession of a weapon. So he gets two charges within the first year he's out, and then Battle Creek police were called Saturday.
You gave him that weapon, too.
Can you charge me? My charger.
We all know because you posted a screenshot earlier on Twitter this weekend, and you had 4% battery.
So. Why do people so get off on that?
Because every time you post a screenshot, I don't think you've ever been above 15%.
I'm not running around 98% all the time. I'm using my phone.
I think part of the problem is your phone, because this charger won't stay in it.
Well, that's a different problem.
Your cell phone blows.
God damn it.
What's the name of this Battle Creek dude?
He looks like a total load. Just search Battle Creek load.
Just look Detroit Free Press.
Luke Motter.
Anyway, O-T-T. The guy... The police are called because there's a lot of noise, and they arrive at the scene, and there's a car with the front door open. That it shouldn't be that hard to fucking charge.
It won't. It like won't make a connection to charge
your cell phone.
Okay,
blows.
Here, let me take it upstairs because I don't know why. The last time we did this, it wouldn't charge down here either.
Perhaps we should get one of those bases that you just set your phone on and it charges.
I don't know if that phone will do it. I think it's a little older.
Your cell phone blows.
Is it a flip phone? Is that what he's got right now?
It's a jitterbug.
Is he rocking a razor?
A razor.
Maybe he should throw that one in the microwave. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Well, he's trying to dry it out.
No, I was curious because when I Googled Battle Creek, I just kind of wanted to, you know, see what name would pop up. There's actually a recent story about a guy named Derek Horton been charged with open murder and the death of his girlfriend, Amber Griffin, just 27 of Battle Creek.
Great.
So that story was, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. So I didn't know if he was going that route, but you had mentioned that this guy is Luke Motter.
Yeah. Motter.
I've seen a picture of him I've seen a picture of him on social media, so I imagine that this story is going to go somewhere a little wild.
So he got out of prison last October, was placed on 2 years probation, like Drew said, for having a weapon, being in possession of a weapon. So the police were called on Saturday night to investigate a noise complaint. The first officer arrived, said the dude was sitting in a car with a door open and loud music, just cranking loud music.
Okay, I have a new, I have a neighbor that does that. But instead of loud music,
it's
talk radio, and it'll be at 3 a.m.
What?
He cranks it, and I don't think it's cranks per se, but the dead silence of the night, and he has his door open. I can hear everybody he's talking to, or like everybody talking on this talk show.
The only way that's acceptable is if he's playing this podcast. Why don't you tell him about the podcast? Maybe I'll start blaring it at 3 in the morning.
Well, I could. I could just go up to him and say, hey, it's the Local 4 Best Of award-winning podcast.
So
check it out.
The police find this, you know, obviously this is the turd with all the loud music. And as they got closer to him, he shut the car door and decided to take off down the driveway and see ya. So they had a pursuit. He took off again. Didn't have his lights on either. So this is at night. And the police broke off the pursuit. So the problem is that's when they found out that, oh, that's the guy who didn't show up for parole.
Oh.
And now another officer then finds him near his house. Once again, they approach the car, and once again, he takes off. 90 miles an hour, failing to stop for officers at intersections, almost hit a car head on. Then they got downtown, I guess, Battle Creek, and saw the vehicle,
split off.
Began another pursuit, fleeing car stopped, but as the deputy approached the car, the driver backed into the patrol car, turned the car around, and nearly hit the deputy himself, and then struck a county patrol car a second time. Fled, drove through Climax, Michigan, drove, lost control, and refused
Cumming, Georgia, and Climax, Michigan.
I know, refused to get out of the car. Deputies used a stun gun on him, and then he was taken out of the car through a window, which... pulling that guy through the window would be no small task. He's a pretty big dude. Did you see him?
I did see him, yeah. He's, I don't know really how to describe his body image.
Thick, very thick. Bald, thick, goatee, bald. Very thick, very, very big dude. So now he's in the hospital waiting, you know, he's getting treatment.
Goatee.
Because he's the one that caused all this damage.
Now, I think I wanted to say that I saw something about him online because of a weapon of some sort.
Yeah, that's what he was a felon with a weapon. That's why he violated parole.
I see.
The guy just got out of prison back in October.
And he's already looking for weapons.
What a total loser. Well, yeah, and that's the thing. How did he get the weapon? He knows he's not supposed to have one. So who gave it to him? Sold it to him? Who gave it to him? Pretty lousy.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if there's any more true crime.
We've had quite a bit of it so far today.
Well, there was the woman. I know you had this in your prep, and it's gone viral now. The lady, the local lady, who tried to light her boyfriend's Jeep on fire.
Yes! Oh, my God. Everybody knows it because it's the absolute greatest video on the internet this past weekend. In fact, it's already been memed so many times, and if you don't know what we're talking about, it's that video where someone is clearly putting gasoline into a Jeep, mm-hmm. and then this happens.
Just a massive, massive explosion. I can't get that. It was her boyfriend's Jeep, and she was doing it. I gotta give her credit for doing it at 8 a.m. in the morning, right?
Oh, it was that early?
I think so.
Well, I've already seen it spun out of control. I'm trying to play it, but I'm having trouble with it.
You know what I wondered in watching that video is who's filming this?
Oh, it's clearly just somebody that's in the apartment complex across the way.
But that's what I mean. It's not security footage or anything. Someone's actually filming it.
Here it is. All right, so here. Let's see.
So someone's filming her dumping gasoline into a car.
Just listen for the sound. She sets
anything.
The can down. She gets the lighter.
Oh.
And boom! I mean, this girl has no eyebrows whatsoever. Here's my favorite remix so far. There's been a whole bunch of them.
I do when Joey Marasso.
Yes, on the new grill at work.
The grill at work.
He had some singed eyebrows.
Which led to a no more grilling at work rule.
Nice going, Joe. No more grilling for you.
We were all very concerned about it.
But he grilled like 100 times before that.
No, I know.
Successfully.
So much so that we went and found the security footage at Riff.
Yeah, I have the security footage.
You have all the footage? Saved.
All right, do we know why this girl was setting this car on fire?
She's mad at her boyfriend.
Yeah, lover's quarrel. good internet.
What happened?
You idiot.
Each one of those drums was the actual explosion.
Okay, so my man, I don't know if you guys, did you finish the story?
I kind of finished it, yeah, where he led three separate police chases, crashed into a bunch of the cars.
With his lights off, of course, in a lot of them. So almost got in a head first crash. He'll probably get 6 months or something. I'm just so tired of these people who go in and out and in and out and in and out.
Do they bother finding out like where he got that gun from?
They should. That drives me crazy.
I don't know. If it's not registered, then good luck.
I feel like a felon in possession of a gun, it's more likely that a felon will end up in possession of a gun than not. But if you got all, if you nailed all the people that put felons in possession of guns, you probably could end a lot of problems.
Well, he already shot somebody, too, so there's no doubt he's going to look for a gun when he gets out again.
It's so frustrating. And, God, there were two convicts.
I was telling Brandon I was really surprised they were able to pull him out through the window because he's a big dude. I don't know if you saw
his picture. Oh, yeah, he is a big guy.
Yeah.
There were two convicts from Virginia that got busted in Michigan, got all the way here from Virginia, I guess.
Didn't see that.
Yeah, and one of them had been convicted of two counts of murder and aggravated malicious assault. The other one had, malicious wounding and assault. And they choked a security guard at the prison, took his keys, and had a getaway car waiting for them outside.
Was it Tilly? Was it?
I don't think so.
Oh, wait, that's right. She's the worst getaway driver because she never showed up.
Wait, right. So this is, these were these juveniles?
No, 20 and 18. 20 years old and 18 years old. They're in prison.
Because it says a juvenile prison, but...
And
they were caught
in there for
a
couple years.
Where else? Battle Creek, right?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
There was a shooting in Flint at a diner. Four shot at a diner in Flint. I mean, the some of the crime going on right now is absolutely madness. I mean, maybe it's... I mean, there's a lot of craziness going on right now. Some people are just...
It's a free-for-all.
Completely coming unglued. And then there was a story on Channel 4 about these two people selling puppies, English bulldogs, two English bulldogs, and they were meeting the people at 12 Oaks Mall. And guy pulled a gun. He had two teens with him who then grabbed the dogs and took off. So this guy didn't get paid for his dogs, his English bulldogs. And he was with his kids, too.
Do you wonder, like, did these people have jobs before COVID and they're just desperate now? I mean, not the first two because they were already in prison, but like this guy with the dogs?
I don't know, because we, you know, honestly, the federal government and the state government have taken pretty good care of people during COVID. I mean, we had stimulus checks, people getting these $600 extra a week.
That's over.
Although they're going to get, they're working on another bill, aren't they? I just saw Mnuchin was talking about a $1,200 stimulus, and they're going to do the weekly money is not going to be the same.
No, they were hoping for a 70%.
Percent of income?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that'll... Because Pelosi's out. Hey, her comment was really stupid, and then you realize, oh, yeah, okay, it's an election year, but she's saying, don't act like you care about people and take that $600 away. It's like, well, no, the point is to get them to work. It's unemployment.
Well, nobody
stopping certain people from
it's
working.
It's
the dumbest thing that they did.
It's a disincentive, and it's gone on for a long time. And
I mean, I'm all for stimulus. I want stimulus money for everybody. But
if it helped a lot of people, I'm happy for that. And I don't want people falling wildly behind. But you know, it is hard for businesses to get up and rolling if they can't get people to come into work. So I mean, something in between, is probably fair enough. And I think that's what they're going to do, hopefully. And on that point, let's see. There was another. Oh, I know what it was. Two stories, actually, involving the president that hopefully won't get anybody too upset.
Oh, well, it'll get someone upset.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Always does.
I know. It's very difficult. It's tough times.
I'm sorry about that.
Did you see Pelosi had a new nickname for Trump, too, by the way?
No. What's her nickname?
Mr. Make Matters Worse. That's a terrible nickname.
Yeah, that's not like low energy Jeb Bush is.
No,
I mean that's stuck.
What about, or Lion what about Ted? Biden's? What about Biden's nickname for Trump?
I call him President Tweety.
Oh my God,
Tweety!
Don't play that game because you're not good at it.
Okay, so Saturday, Trump played golf, which enraged people. 140,000 daddies playing golf. Well,
it's like that for every president time they hit the links.
Honestly, I've never
seen... did it to Obama. He tweeted about Obama playing golf all the time.
I've never seen a president that didn't play golf sometime when someone felt they shouldn't have played golf. And, of course, they always make a big deal about how much it costs to have Secret Service, which is not the president's fault. No. There's not much you can do about that. But anyway, he's playing golf. 140,000 people are dead from coronavirus. He's playing golf. What, is he supposed to be in the emergency room?
At least Nixon just bowled in the White House. Didn't he have a bowling alley?
Yeah, he had a bowl. There's still bowling lane there, I think. So Twitter's just gone wild over this, but mostly because Brett Favre is golfing with him. So Brett Favre, people immediately start digging up his dick pics. And
what about Favre Girl? Has Favre Girl made a comment?
Yeah, Favre Girl was mentioned. I didn't hear from Favre Girl. I'm sure she'll throw herself into the middle of it if she can.
Oh, my God. How awesome.
You know, all of a sudden, Brett Favre is just the worst person. And so, yeah, the dick pics and people describing in great detail the horrible thing he did when he harassed a girl who worked for the Jets by sending her dick pics. And then I wrote down a couple of tweets just because it just gets so dumb. Brett Favre wants you to know he's okay with Nazis.
That's not even a joke.
Brett Favre said Cap is a hero. Then he does this. Hey, Brett, people are dying. Trump and Brett Favre golfing. So glad 140,000 deaths have touched him. May it be written that Brett Favre wanted...
Wait, I would love people to follow that guy around to see if he's mourning all the people's deaths.
No, I know. It's what is wrong with people? Why are people so self-righteous? I mean, people are... The people just would have you believe they're so wonderful and they're so sensitive and they always do the right thing. Listen to this one. May it be written that Brett Favre wanted football and played golf with racist Donald Trump, while Colin Kaepernick won at life and told racist Trump to fuck himself.
That's right.
That's deep.
I know. Everyone's, they're trying to be the most outraged possible.
Golf. Oh, no. You want to know the most outraged that I saw with this? This made me laugh.
Why do people want to be so outraged? What is so great about being the most outraged person?
Because they want to see people get taken away and fail and never come back and rebound. I don't know. I don't get it.
The virtue signaling is
Tampa Bay Rays had a tweet that said something akin to, hey, it's opening day. It's also a great day to arrest the people that killed Breonna Taylor. It's a pretty ballsy thing for...
Wait, the Tampa Bay
Rays?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why would they tweet that?
Because they're woke? I don't know.
Yeah, and whoever their social media manager is.
I don't know. Why would you want to... I mean, that's... I don't understand you want to... I'm not saying it's polluting their baseball, but it's like, why do you want to bring that into...
divisive in a sense.
I mean, couldn't you talk about refugees and sure, you know, refugees are starving and there's lots of things you could put in a tweet.
But some, I'm trying to find.
But they are. Is this a strategy? A social media strategy?
So anyway, a guy wrote. He goes, "I've been a Rays fan since 1969 and a season ticket holder from 1973, and I will not be buying tickets ever again." Blah blah blah. Which is clearly...
Didn't they start in 1994?
Clearly a joke.
Well, I saw
he's trolling.
So he puts that out there, and the replies to that joke tweet are fucking hilarious because people are like, good riddance, racist. Like, why don't you do a little homework or try to figure out what the guy's really saying? Because then right after that tweet, he had one. He's like, for all of you who don't think I'm a real Rays fan, I was there in 1997 on September 11th, and they had to pull me from my seat. And people were like, what are you talking about? This is 2001. Dude, not everybody has the same tone as you do on Twitter.
Oh, brother.
It was a really great troll, and I wasted a lot of time reading all the angry responses.
People just love...
season ticket holders since 1973.
People love to pile on. They love to, you know, show how virtuous they are. I can't stand this! Brett Favre! People like him, and he's golfing with racists!
That's why it's not real.
But how do people get so shitty? I mean, people are just so shitty.
Because they have a platform to be shitty.
But their name's behind it. I mean, you'd think that they would eventually feel like, you know, I'm really not coming off so well here.
Not always,
though. I sound pretty dramatic, don't I? The other item I was going to mention was, and let me just find it here. There was some interesting new data. Yes, a new CNN poll has Biden up in Arizona 49-45. NBC also had a poll in Arizona that has Biden up 50-45.
Wrong.
CNN's poll has Biden up in Michigan 52-40. There was also a new CBS YouGov poll that has Biden up 48-42 in Michigan. So that's a difference of 6 points between the two polls. That's a lot. Florida, the CNN poll has Biden up 51-46. And CBS also had a poll on Ohio that had Trump up 1% in Ohio, which is really not much.
Mm-mm. He won Ohio big, didn't he?
I don't know. Was it big?
I thought he won Ohio big.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. But, yeah, speaking of virtue signaling and righteousness, people were angry at the San Francisco Giant guy who was standing for the national anthem. He's the only guy standing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you think that people should understand the one person who kneels for the national anthem, then wouldn't it be okay to be the one guy that stands for the national anthem? I mean, that is what you're supposed to do, generally speaking.
Well, correction. It wasn't during the anthem.
Oh, what was it doing during?
Well, remember we watched the Yankees in the Nationals when they did it? They did it before the anthem. That was kind of their way of getting around it. And so the Giants and the Dodgers did the same thing. It was before the anthem. It was
this was a moment of silence prior to the anthem.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And an acknowledgement. That's when they were holding that whole black.
What's this black thing they're all holding? I don't understand what that is.
It's the way for them to hold hands during times of social distancing.
Is that what that is?
Say what you want. Okay, Major League Baseball is trying to cure the social ills. However, by doing this, it's kind of smart because it kind of stops people from kneeling during the anthem.
This guy says
he doesn't kneel for anyone but God because he's a Christian.
Well,
but don't you think there were other Christians on that team?
Well, that doesn't. I mean, if everyone has to understand, you know, Colin Kaepernick or whatever,
don't drag me into this.
Then people can certainly understand that someone feels differently. I mean, the whole idea is, you know, I don't feel the same way you do, so this is what I do, and you don't feel the same way I do, so this is what you do. I don't think anyone should really be barking up anyone's tree. Just whatever. I mean, really, do we have to constantly
be punished,
parsing every guy that stands, sits, kneels?
Yes, we will in this country.
Well, I've gotten some. Let me see if I can pull this up.
I thought it was during the anthem, though. I didn't realize it was.
No, it was before.
Not that I really care to like get all into what his deal is.
And the only reason I really
it's funny too. Some people's reasons are good enough, and some people say, "But he's a Christian. Are you kidding me?"
You see this? Here's something from the Boner line. I just watched a replay of the Tiger game, and I saw the BLM patch on the uniforms. I turned the channel.
It was a replay.
Still, people are going to be upset over patches, upset over kneeling, upset.
I think so too.
Look at Mike Ditka today. Mike Ditka, he was supposed to be the commissioner of this new women's football.
Did they fire him?
I don't know, but I have a feeling that Ditka's going to get in trouble. What?
Women's tackle football league.
Does he need a paycheck that bad? Or is this something they believe in?
You know what? They probably give him $10,000 a month or something to be the face of women's tackle football.
Let's get your face out in public and let's live where people have to see you every day.
So Iron Mike says that nobody should kneel for the national anthem.
Correct. And he's taken some heat. So far, I don't know.
Mike Ditka doesn't take heat. He doesn't care.
He dishes it out on people like Marasso.
That's right. Yeah. It was ugly. Oh, is that audio from Ditka today?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. The first like minute and a half of this thing is talking about how great women are going to be in this football league, but then it does turn into the kneeling. Let me find
this. I call football man's work. Go ahead and do it. And if they're going to knock the crap out of each other, more power to them because that's what people want to see. And I mean, I don't say that to be smart. I say it because that's what they want to see.
Looking old.
Women are pretty, good looking, and they can knock the crap out of each other. Well, we'll see how it works.
The whole kneeling thing in the NFL,
you got guys saying that they're going to do it. I'm seeing all these baseball players now, different teams. Last night watching baseball, you got the Reds kneeling, the A's, the Giants. A lot of teams are kneeling. Athletes are kneeling. In your league here, you're the chairman of this thing. Is that going to be allowed if the women want to take a knee during the anthem? What's the policy on that for you guys?
Well, if it was up to me, I'd say no. If you can't respect our national anthem, get the hell out of the country. Then that's the way I feel. Of course, I'm old-fashioned, so I'm only going to say what I feel. I think there's a way that you protest, and there's a way you don't protest.
I don't believe that.
The flag, and you don't protest against this country who's given you the opportunity.
If you don't love it, leave it. USA, sport, number one. That,
you never thought would happen. So I don't want to hear all the crap. You want to try it? Try it. You know, it's okay.
You know the worst.
I don't want to hear all the crap.
I saw that the New York.
What does that mean?
I think he means that he wants to see chicks tackling each other, and he doesn't really care about anything else.
The worst part about that is how old he looks. And
he's 80, I think, isn't he?
I know, but it's Iron Mike. I don't like seeing him.
I know, I don't either.
I still want to, you know, see him chomping on his gum with his big stash and sunglasses in 80.
It's easy to hide behind a microphone.
That's the mic I want. Son.
I like.
I don't believe that.
Wonder is.
I like Mike Ditka with a perm. Perm. Yes. He very briefly had a perm.
Yeah. That's right.
It's funny looking back at people that actually went for the dude perm thing.
Did he have eye black? I'm trying to think of a real famous picture with him in the perm. Is he the one that had the eye black in it?
It's
when he played, right? Wasn't it at the end of his career?
I think maybe at the end of his career, but it was coaching too with the Bears. He definitely had a perm like early 80s.
Wow. All right, here we go. Let's check out the 16 celebrity men who have confidently sported the perm.
Ooh.
All right.
Who's that dude?
Hold on a minute. Male perms. So there's Donald Sutherland.
Yep. Oh, I remember that. That's Animal House.
Yeah.
There's the one Justin Timberlake when his hair looked like a ramen noodle. Johnny Wad.
Wad!
Yeah.
The Wad!
Porn Hoo-wah. Star. Tom Hoo-wah. Hanks. Big old perm. Big perm.
Bosom Buddies Day.
I think that's a wave perm.
Weird Al's perm is pretty famous.
Robert Reed.
Oh, yeah. He had a big old perm.
Mr. Reed, Brady.
Phil Spector, but I'm pretty sure that perm was a wig.
Look at Phil.
It was a wig.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. That was a wig, and he still chose to wear it.
Oh, here's one. I'm going to give you an audio clue of who this is. Let's see.
Oh, that's Mike Schmidt.
Oh,
sorry.
I thank God that dream came true.
That was a big-ass perm.
It's a Hall of Fame perm. God. How about... some English footballer named Kevin Keegan. Oh, nobody cares about him. No one's ever heard of him. Al Pacino.
Justin Hoffman. Go back to perm? Al's perm. I don't remember it.
Let's see. That's a perm.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, boy.
George Harrison, and Ringo Starr.
Wait, Ringo had one? Oh, man.
Yeah, 1970s.
There it is.
Freddie Mercury's perm. And David Bowie.
Yeah, Bowie had a bad perm. Yikes. Bowie had a really bad perm.
Oh, who's this?
Still kind of looks cool, though, doesn't he?
Here's the author.
Bowie always looks kind of cool, at least. At least kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay. There's a ton of tabloid stuff. We haven't even mentioned about Regis dying.
No, I know. And I wanted to get to the entertainment stuff in a second, but let's see. Just want to cover a couple things first.
Hi, Regis.
One, there's a... This is a weird story. There's a protest in Austin, Texas last night. And this guy is carrying an AK-47 because he said they won't let us protest in the streets, so I'm exercising some of our other rights. And I guess he was on tape saying some other things, you know, kind of being on the aggressive side. He's with his paraplegic wife, who's in a wheelchair. I'm thinking, should she really be at it? I mean,
I guess they've done a lot of protesting.
They had been there 50 days straight.
I would think she would be compromised a bit, maybe. You know, as far as getting sick.
Oh, because of COVID, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that just seemed like a bad. And I don't want to, you know. I know. I realize he.
I mean,
he
died. Why is she a paraplegic? I don't know.
So, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Maybe she's perfectly healthy. Anyway,
they've been together forever too. Were you surprised that she was black, man?
No, because I saw her with him before I even knew what happened to him, so it wasn't...
Okay.
I mean, yeah, but I guess it's a little... Maybe. Anyway, he's carrying this AK-47 around, and at one point, this car drives up, which I guess wants to get through the protest, and people surround the car to some degree.
See, there's the information on the car is varying, too. Either he was driving where he wanted to, or he was driving trying to, because someone claimed he was trying to hit protesters. But if you're trying
That's not what the police said this morning.
If you're trying to hit protesters, I think you would have. It's not too hard
to get out of his car. He got he was stopped, and I guess the guy with the AK-47 was approaching his car. He says he got out and shot the guy because he was he said he was scared. Now the victim's mother, who is probably not the most objective source, says that that's not true. But it sounded like the police somewhat bought the driver's version. So I don't know.
Well,
there's a million people out
there
saying,
video of it. Yeah. There is video of it. So here's the big question.
I didn't see the actual shooting on the video.
To hear it. Well,
you just hear it. But the big question is, who is shooting what? And the reason I ask that is because there are five initial shots, and then silence, and then three shots. And some witnesses are saying, yeah, that final three shots was the driver who got out and shot, and that the guy with the gun, the protester with the gun, had shot first, whether inadvertently or on purpose. Now, well, that's also varying, because some people are saying, though, that's not true.
The
driver shot eight shots. So we have eight shots, and nobody knows what's going on here.
The police said the final shots were people from the crowd firing as the guy got back in his car and drove away.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh.
Trying to stop him after he shot the guy.
Yeah, there's just a lot of weird misinformation in this one so far.
Yes. Well, some people finding out how hard it is to be the policeman.
The police also said he was shot through the car. The guy did not get out of his car. He pointed the gun out through his window, a handgun, and fired multiple shots. And then drove off, and that's when they shot back.
Okay, so what is the police side? What are the police saying?
The guy turned onto the street into a crowd of protesters. They're not, like I was saying before, not necessarily that he was aiming or trying to hit protesters, because once again, if you were, you probably could pretty easily hit protesters because they were all over the place. That's when protesters, including the guy that died, walked up to his car, approached the car.
But we know the guy that died has an AK-47.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Driver pointed a handgun out the window, fired multiple shots, then drove away. And that's when people in the crowd, who was not the guy that was hit, opened fire at him as he drove away.
Is he been arrested, or have any of the people who fired at him been arrested?
He's been arrested, and he's cooperating with investigators.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know he was arrested.
Yeah.
Or detained.
The weird thing is,
not arrested, whatever.
This guy, Garrett Foster, he was like just interviewed like minutes before this shooting with his gun. Let
me see. Oh, I saw. He was interviewed on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was so weird.
Sad. Stupid and sad.
Oh, it's AK-47.
Why'd you got it out tonight?
They don't let us march in the streets anymore, so gotta practice some of our rights.
Cool, man. Do you feel like you'll need to use it?
Nah, I think if I use it against the cops, I'm dead. And I think all the people that hate us and, you know, want to say shit to us are too big of pussies to stop and actually do anything about it. So.
Why'd you start carrying?
Well, our roommate got arrested and they stopped letting us march anywhere, so started carrying.
So that's it. And then minutes later, they're walking together and somebody is filming it on the street, and you know, you see people walking and there's the car behind them kind of honking, and then shots ring out.
Yeah, I just can't tell what the hell is going on. It's in Austin, Texas. There were riots last night in Seattle and Portland.
Yep.
Seattle is having empathy protests for Portland. And a lot of stuff burned, a lot of damage. Some of these cities are experiencing an awful lot of damage, which I guess, you know, whatever. I'm at the point now where I just wish there were less protests that, I mean, this just can't be good for COVID, having all these people out night after night after night. But everyone who would have anything to say about it has encouraged and said that protesting is important and that it doesn't spread COVID. So what can I say?
I mean, a lot of the video that was released this particular weekend, we're not talking about protesters who had a 90% of them are wearing masks. I saw maybe, to be honest with you, I saw maybe 20% wearing masks. Like this, it was different this past weekend than I had seen in the past, in which, you know, when they kicked the cops out of one of those areas and they were showing all, everybody celebrating,
one, two masks out of like 100. When they kicked the cops out of, well, you know, honestly, but the masks, if they're not socially distancing, a mask is not a replacement for social distancing. It's
they should be wearing them, but
they're not. If you're not socially distancing, you're not following the rules.
Yeah. This was following a skirmish here, like a skirmish on the streets with the police. And when the police pulled back, when they retreated, this was the party. Now look at all your masks at this party. I mean, maybe 20% masks, and that's hundreds of people gathered together. And so, I mean, when you're, this is why when individuals want to go out to little events like maybe Torch Lake, or they want to go to Jobby Nooner, and then they see thousands of people like this, it's like, how come they get yelled at and we don't? I mean, it's weird.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I just don't know how. The problem with COVID right now is younger people. Younger people are out protesting. In some of these cities, it's going on every night, night after night, multiple places in each city. It can't be helping. I mean, I understand their right to protest, but it seemed like a lot of people have sacrificed a lot of things. And I wish, well, I feel like it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. COVID's done. We just gave up. It's just.
No, not really. Because, I mean, now we're at a point where, like, what, Florida, Texas, Arizona had got it. They better get their shit together pretty quick.
Yeah, over 1,000 deaths again.
Yeah, but nothing like we were before. We're at 2,700 a day before.
I know, but still four straight days.
But we've had 75,000. I mean, the more infections you have, the more deaths you're going to have. We have triple the infections we had 2 months ago. Isn't that about right? 75,000 a day or something? Well, 60,000 a day?
That's everybody being tested. I mean,
because the nerds say that you would expect the rate, the percentage of positive tests to be the same no matter how much you test. And they're not. They're increasing.
Well,
that's the problem. But no, it's, you know, is what it is.
I mean, if they're giving up on COVID, then open my fucking health club.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why it's okay to protest thousands of people. In the clip we just saw, people aren't even wearing masks. They're not social distancing in any of these protests. And I can't go fucking work out.
No. Yeah.
And I'm going to wear a mask when I work out.
No one's going to do it. So just open everything up.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So, entertainment. Regis died, and we, of course, the closest we got to Regis is probably Ted Patchell, I would say.
Do we never have him? We never had Regis on?
You know, I think I probably told the story when Zip and I called Regis. We were getting phone numbers on Radio Star.
Yeah.
People trading all the time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Regis Philbin. We called it thinking it wouldn't be him. He answers the phone. We're like, Regis! And
hi, Regis.
He's like, who is this? Like, it's the Drew and Zip show in Phoenix. And he's like, Drew and Zip. He was all hung up on the word Zip. Like, what a crazy name that is. And the next day.
Regis isn't.
I know. The next day with Kathy Lee, he goes, so I'm sitting around taking my afternoon nap. And I was on the phone rings because we were in Phoenix.
Yeah.
He goes, and I pick up and it's Drew and Zip.
Oh, that's
Zip.
Cool.
What the hell? I mean, he just like had a conniption fit. Because
I'm sorry.
He seemed like a good dude.
He was
very
friendly. It was funny as hell. I just remember the phones going insane. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Has he mentioned you?
Yeah, he mentioned us live the next day at 9:10 or something. We were still here. So, but I liked Regis. You know, yeah. Regis was he was a sidekick on a national show in the 60s, and then he went back to being local in New York. He spent a good part of his career being a local New York guy, and it's sort of like his career really kicked late when he and Kathy Lee got the 9 o'clock show.
Yeah.
And then continued with Kelly, And I mean, he was in his 60s and 70s for the, you know, those huge years. And he got Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, that was big. Little Nicky, very big. That was huge.
I love him. I don't know. I always was amused by him. I always found him funny.
He seemed like a good dude, and Letterman would pound lumps on him, and he'd be fine with it. And...
Yes, Letterman did.
We had five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
Computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner, Thomas, is up there. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you.
Yes.
What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, fine. All right, good.
All right, fine.
Regis was so thrown by that.
All right, good, yeah.
Hi, Regis. God, I haven't heard Hi, Regis in so long.
Quality's just terrible on him, but we got him.
It's too bad.
Hi, Regis.
Did somebody else died over the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, that old bird we talked about. And then Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, Fleetwood Mac. That's right. Yeah. Was he 70? Yeah, I thought he would have been older than that. Mm-hmm. He was Fleetwood. I mean, Fleetwood Mac has gone on for so long. Fleetwood Mac, before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined in 74, Peter Green was a lead guitarist, and they were a much bluesier band.
Yeah.
But Mick Fleetwood was in the band. So they were Fleetwood Mac. John McVie was in the band, and Christine probably was too. But with Peter Green, they were a little more of a little headier with some blues influence. But I'm trying to think, what was that?
Did he do anything else?
Peter Green? Yeah. No, I think he lost his mind.
Oh,
actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think he went a little crazy. And I'm trying to remember what the incident was. I believe he pulled a gun on his accountant.
What?
Yeah, and
why?
And that was when they sort
like
of
the numbers?
Said, yeah, didn't like that he was had too many taxes. I think that was when they first sort of maybe put him away for a few months to try and clean him up.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But yeah, it was a little messy after that. And he was a young guy then. I mean, that was in the '70s, I think. So, yeah, Regis, Peter Green, and then some other items. I saw a picture of Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, with his fiance.
A 24-year-old girlfriend. He's 62.
Yeah.
He's going, Dolph.
Dolph rules, man.
He doesn't have the buzz cut, though.
He doesn't?
No, he had just like regular gray hair, kind of combed back. I mean, look good. He looks healthy.
It wasn't gray. It was blonde. He's a straight-up blonde.
Wait,
still.
It's blonde? It looked gray to me.
No, it's blonde.
No, it's blonde.
Really?
Don't you see him on all those investing commercials?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I don't know what the commercial's for, but some investment firm. And
you know who?
Apparently, he's made a ton of money investing.
Every time I turn on Fox, I see William Devane telling me why I should buy gold.
Oh, okay. Not a reverse mortgage?
Oh, is that what he's doing now?
Well, there's a lot of ads for reverse mortgages.
But William Devane, what? The guy was on Knott's Landing like 40 years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's still got power. He's still got purchasing power.
I don't know. It just always makes me laugh. It's almost like Dick Van Patten's promoting, what was it, Jiffy Lube? Didn't Dick Van Patten do Jiffy Lube? Or some oil change place?
I hope so.
It just makes me say, I can't believe they can't afford a better spokesperson.
Oh, man. Come on. Van Patten, he's great. Everyone loved him. America's dad.
Well, yeah, I guess he was.
No, it was wasn't it pet food? Was it pet food?
Yeah, he did pet food too. He was a spokesperson for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think he really ever said no.
No, it was not his vocabulary. He was not concerned about oversaturating the market with his likeness.
Other celebrity news: you see, Jermaine Dupri is producing a "We Are the World" inspired charity song.
When he says "We Are the World," who exactly and what inspired this, other than his desire to do
make
one?
Money? Oh, yeah. I feel like this is a big scam or something. Because first off, the song—like if you were to just lazily pick the name of a song for a "We Are the World" inspired song, how about "Change"? Is that bland enough?
Pretty generic.
He's producing a charity song called "Change," inspired by "We Are the World," with a bunch of artists I've never heard of, other than Gary Clark Jr. in Neo.
Gary Clark Jr. is becoming a little too available.
Yeah, he does seem to be everywhere, but he's got guitar, man.
No, he can jam. I think he's really talented. I like him.
He said,
It shouldn't be on everything.
I've had a few people who rejected being on the song. A week ago, those rejections had me in a fucked up space. That's a quote from Jermaine Dupri.
Fucked up space.
Because artists are like, I don't want to be part of your scam change song. I'm trying to do something good for the cause, so I had to get myself out of that funk. I'm a songwriter, so when someone rejects one of my songs, I started thinking
Oh, it's his song, of course.
I started thinking that the song sucks immediately. That's when I started reading. I read that when Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson did We Are the World, Prince came to the studio, and he rejected being on the song. When I saw it, it relieved me because I'm like, that's why Prince wasn't on the song, because he didn't like the song. I also read that Cyndi Lauper thought the song sounded like a soap commercial or something. A couple others said they didn't love the song. So that gave me my next week of confidence, and I started reaching out to the Detroit Choir. It's a song that represents this current time that we're in. So it's a charity song for what?
Who's on it? Who are the big shots besides Detroit Choir?
Jonta Austin. I don't know who that is. Neo, Kelly Rowland, who was in...
What was
that group Beyonce was in?
Who's that dude?
I'm starting to think that Jermaine Dupri does not have the cachet to get all the egos checked at the door.
No, well, everyone's turning it down because they think the song sucks. Monica, whoever that is, Miguel, Gary Clark Jr., JoJo, Eric Bellinger, and Angel.
Doesn't he need some more names? Should he get Quincy Jones out of retirement to help him get some more names? And get the egos properly checked at the door?
Either the song sucks, or they know it's some kind of scam for him to funnel money to a fake charity.
Well, Jermaine Dupri is not exactly Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie.
No, not at all. I mean, he was a big producer maybe 20 years ago. Meanwhile, Nick Cannon made a visit to the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
Oh, great. I'm sure he wouldn't know. You know what? He was going anyway, it turns out.
Yeah, right. Look, it's crazy. They have a picture of him talking to two rabbis at the center.
Oh, is he lecturing them?
Probably. He viewed a couple of things they have, like the Hitler letter. So maybe he's starting to believe that it was real. He promised to donate his first paycheck as the host of The Masked Singer to the center.
Then they can't fire him or else they're taking money away.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
Kind of brilliant.
It's pretty sharp.
Pretty brilliant. Nothing else really came out of that meeting, but I'm sure he understands now.
All righty. Taylor Swift has a new song, and I heard it got record streams. Yeah. 80 million streams, like, within hours.
Is it any good?
It was a different... You guys didn't hear about it?
No.
Is it called Folklore?
I knew she was putting out an album. I didn't know. A new song.
Give it a spin. Let's see what Swifty's up to.
You're right on top. Oh, the whole album's out.
Well, they were referring to a specific song. I think it was on Good Morning America. They said she had set some record for streams. I'm sure Tekashi will break it. He's so talented.
Is it Cardigan? All the songs are getting... just tons of streams.
This had 80 million streams almost immediately. And it sounded different. It didn't sound like a top 40-ish song. Brand
new phone. Ooh, it sounds like Billie Eilish. You can understand her. When you are young, they assume you
know nothing. It's because you don't. Sequin smile. Which song is this? Black lipstick. Sensual. Sounds a little bit
politics. Well, all our songs are deep, right? Young, they assume you
know nothing. Sounds like a great one. But I knew you
dancing in your Levi's, drunk under a street light. Hi, Rachel. I knew you and
I knew my sweatshirt. Okay, great work, Taylor. Congratulations.
Let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
I'm annoyed, too, because, the title of the album is Folklore, and there's no capital. It's all lowercase. Same with every song listed on the track listing is all lowercase because it's so deep.
Wow, that is deep.
Still stupid.
I know.
Just put out songs we want to hear, Swift.
I heard Elon Musk was popping off about he wants a cage match with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
He says he did not have sex with Amber Heard. He did not have a three-way with Amber Heard and Carla Delevingne.
Yeah.
And I think he's full of shit. I don't know. Why are he and Amber Heard so determined to say this never happened?
Well, there is video of them in that. We've seen the video of Amber Heard all cuddling up to Elon Musk in that elevator.
And he was let in by security to her place and Depp's place when he wasn't home multiple times at like 11 o'clock at night. That's Sardian testimony.
And they did date right afterwards.
Yes, they did. That's what he said. When they broke up, they started dating.
Bullshit.
And one of the guys who works for Depp and Amber Heard said that she had bruises the morning after she was with Elon Musk.
So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they won't admit it, because the idea that he could have given him to her.
Hoo-ah. Yeah. Okay.
Is that trial still going on?
Yeah, I think it is. That is the longest. No, that is the worst trial for both people. I've never seen a trial that hurt two people.
Guilty.
Yeah, both sides got hurt so badly.
We'll find out something new tomorrow. Something very, very bad to one of their characters.
You know, I thought it was very interesting. Two reasons this is interesting. Okay, the headline is A&E lost half their audience when they dropped Live PD.
Live PD's huge.
Live PD was their big Friday and Saturday night show, and it was so popular they started rerunning it during the week. Mm-hmm. And it drew a ton of audience. And apparently it brought a lot of people to A&E that didn't watch A&E. So it had, you know, sort of a double shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they are, and a lot of these cable stations are really, really hurting, as we talked about the other day.
That's a shame.
Because of the Netflix and, you know, all these platforms. You've got MTD reduced to ridiculousness, you know, 11 out of 12 hours a day. 11 out of every 12 hours.
But you know,
honest to God, it's unbelievable.
But the streaming
MTV of old.
The streaming sites, even though I know I complain that there's nothing on anymore, they're still churning out some content that people will watch.
The streaming sites.
Yeah, like Netflix still is churning out.
Oh, yeah, no, they always have something new. So I'm going to watch the show you were talking about. I'm kind of pumped. I'm always finding something to watch.
That's what I mean. But
oh, I watched a Brian Jones documentary the other night on Apple TV.
I guess what I mean is that they're still producing stuff that people want to watch. So why hasn't MTV, why hasn't A&E produced other stuff?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I think a lot of those stations like TNT, A&E, they're reliant on the old faithfuls. You know, we've got the whole rerun package of Intervention. We've got the whole rerun package of, you know, Friends.
But you know what? That's what I was going to say. You know who else is relying on that is The Office gets watched a ton on Netflix. Friends, that's why there's a big bidding war for Friends that HBO Max got.
Yeah, and they've picked up a lot of those good shows. If you can see them on Netflix, you're probably more inclined to watch them there.
I think there's too many channels, and they don't want to have every channel spend a ton of money on buying one show, where Netflix is Netflix, but you know Viacom is like 30 channels.
MTV used to create some good content. Mm-hmm. They can't produce
MTV
any
of old.
They can't come up with any good content. I mean, Lindsay Lohan's bar is the best thing they can come up with in 2 years.
I mean, even pre-COVID, they didn't come up with anything worth watching.
The Hills reboot?
Siesta Key. That's about it.
Siesta Key is, well worth it. What, the Hills reboot. I mean,
that was
really
successful.
I know it was.
They can't film now, though.
What happened to real people?
Beavis and Butthead. I mean, Beavis and Butthead were on MTV. And now when they're doing like these new seasons and stuff, they're not even on MTV anymore. They're on
Sister Station.
Central.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that Beavis and Butthead would not be on MTV. I guess MTV's just thrown in the towel, haven't they, really?
Yes.
I don't think it's been put any better way. They threw in the towel. Once YouTube started getting all those videos.
Shouldn't it just... Why isn't it just the Ridiculousness channel?
It pretty much is.
It should just be Ridiculousness. And then they can spawn other stuff that is equally ridiculous.
Why don't they start rerunning all the 16 and Pregnants and all the Mom original ones?
They have done some of that.
Those girls are old now.
When they had the Throwback Friday that day, I really enjoyed that program. It was fun. I thought maybe they'd do it regularly. But
they should bring back Remote Control, but it's probably doesn't fit with today's culture.
It was a great show. I know.
There's probably too many jokes that wouldn't fly that they'd have to spend all the time.
You're probably right.
Apologizing. Well, I told you I was watching the old episode, and the guy answered a question that was wrong. And he said La Cage aux Folles, you know, that one
La Cage aux Folles
movie or whatever. And Ken Hoberg goes, "Well, that explains the earring." Because it was a
that
dude.
Sounds weird now.
It was a dude in the 80s with an earring.
Yeah,
that wouldn't fly today.
A little rare, I guess. With a few edits, they could make it arable.
It'd be 10 minutes long.
Was it that bad?
No, it wasn't that bad. But there were enough jokes. It's like, yeah, they would never. They just wouldn't air it. Somebody should air it.
Nicholas Sandman settled with the Washington Post.
Yeah. How much? Do we know how much he got?
They won't say, which probably means that the Washington Post does not want it revealed.
Sure,
if it was a dollar, they'd reveal it in a second. But, you know, CNN also did not reveal the amount, but it was alleged to be pretty significant. And the WAPO, it was certainly not up to the Washington Post standards. And I don't know what their defense was, honestly, because it seemed to me it was so obvious that most of these people did not do any reporting. They just accepted this blistering, skewered thing that came out on Twitter. By the way, we ever find out who put that out, who that was prick
Brazilian,
was?
A Brazilian troll.
It was a Brazilian
posing
troll.
Posing as a California teacher.
I just thought Nicholas Salmon, I knew he would win some money because he's, you know, it's probably not as easy as an adult to do it. Although Richard Jewell got millions and millions of dollars from multiple networks. But Nick Sandman was 16 years old. He was not a public figure. And they all just threw him out there. And then they tried to pull the old, it looks like there's more to the story, when the truth was they just didn't report the original story. They didn't even know about the black Hebrew Israelites.
Yeah.
And the reason it was most pathetic to me was because Brandon and I watched the 20 minutes that you needed to watch because we thought the thing was it was confusing. It was like, wait, what did this guy do again? And there was raw tape online. It wasn't like this thing was hard to find information on. But they just took the tweet and ran. And my only complaint about Nicholas Sandman is that originally he was going to go after all the famous people with multi-million followings and try to go after them. And it seems that they've dropped that, which I wish I would have loved to have seen some of the Twitter people get caught up in this.
What did he tweet at Jack? Didn't he tweet something at Jack after the Washington Post thing?
Who, Sandman? Yeah. I think something like just this is just the beginning. Or I know he thanked his law firm.
Let's see, I'm looking at it right now. It says, we've settled with WAPO and CNN. This fight isn't over. Two down, six to go. Don't hold your breath at Jack.
So he's suing Twitter?
It sounds like he can, you know, regarding what Drew's talking about, where all these celebrities came out and, you know, they jumped on this bandwagon and they
called him a racist.
Right. I don't think that he can individually go towards each person like that, but if he can go after what publisher, Twitter and, you know, Jack Dorsey, then perhaps he can. In fact, he'll probably just settle with the next six. This kid's already a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
But people are always going to hate him because it's a divisive story in a political sense. And his Twitter bio is him and what, DTJ. So now he's on the side of Donald Trump Jr. So he's
What does DTJ have to do with this?
He's just his boy, man. They're his pals.
So Nicholas Sandman's Twitter account, he's got 120,000 followers now, by the way.
Is that all?
Unverified.
Oh, okay.
But Nicholas Sandman, his profile picture is a selfie with him and Donald Trump Jr. So is going to immediately make everybody hate Nicholas Sandman more.
Well, I still wish that he had tried to sue the individuals on Twitter because the attack on him was so brutal, unprovoked. He's 16 and, you know, they doxed him. Immediately doxed him and dug up all kinds of shit. And he could probably even sue his own school because his school was saying, we're going to do whatever we have to do. He's kicking these people out.
Yeah.
Well, he said six to go, so I don't know who those six are, though it's safe to say that one of them is probably Twitter.
They're all large media, and I'm trying to think. I saw the list. I want to say New York Times. They're pretty big. It almost seemed like a... I just can't remember. I'm sure we'll find out sooner or later.
It's interesting because a court threw it out and then another court reinstated it because there were 33 claims and then they whittled it down to the three. I'd love to know what not that anybody cares, but the three exact claims.
I tell you, it's really
defamatory.
It's really hard to win those things.
Oh, I know.
And if you get somebody like the Washington Post settling, you know. The last thing in the world. In fact, all those outlets said, we would do anything wrong. We did nothing wrong. We will fight this. And so it had to be bad.
It looks like there's also ABC News, CBS News, the New York Times, and the Rolling Stone.
I thought his age alone would give him a good shot. But, you know, these operations do not have poorly paid lawyers. They've got good lawyers. Yeah. So I'm sure that Nicholas Sandman and must have formidable representation, too, because it's – I don't know. The proof is in the pudding, though. I mean, he was really just taken out in the worst way. And the fact that he was so young, I thought he would win. But you never know. I mean, I've seen cases where it's like, what? Like, you know what was interesting? The Elon Musk pedo guy thing?
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine how Elon Musk won that. But it's proving defamation is really hard. And Elon Musk...
is a public figure.
Elon Musk went to so much trouble, too, to dig up shit on this guy. Didn't they have PIs going through his garbage or something?
Yep.
What is the world coming to? I mean... Obviously, he had no business calling this guy pedo guy or suggesting he was a pedophile. I mean, that was pretty brutal. And Elon Musk has a humongous following, but the guy lost. He sued him and he lost. And I don't know specifically what the reason was, but I think one of the reasons was I think this guy actually popped off at Elon Musk.
He did, yeah.
So he sort of, I guess, invited some kind of response. I don't know why the pedophile thing would be anything but slander or defamation, but it wasn't, according to the court. Although Musk did certainly spend a lot of money investigating this guy and going through all his shit and digging up dirt, whatever they could. So I guess that's about it. We're going to have Carl later this week from Who Are These Podcasts.
Oh, great. I just listened to his latest episode.
It sounded like a good show. What was it on?
This one was on Brent Hatley's Twitter
Howard
show.
Stern's guy.
Yeah, Brent Hatley was he was a producer for Bubba the Love Sponge, and then he made the jump over to the Howard Stern show.
Happened to Brent Hatley? Is he doing anything significant
Cameo.
Now?
He's on Cameo. Well,
yeah, he is on Cameo now that he's not working for Howard. He's allowed to be on there. But Brent, he got a lot of airtime with Stern because he was a swinger, and so they talked about those kinds of exploits. It was kind of gross, to tell you the truth.
I was getting very wary of it myself. I was really getting tired of it. I thought it was cool at first, interesting, and of course, Howard stirred up all the right shit, like, you know, wanting to talk to the guys that nailed his wife that supposedly turned him on so much.
And part of the allure of that storyline was everybody would kind of come in and attack Brent and challenge Brent on all his swing. Well, now his new show, it's just him. And so there's no one really to challenge him. It's him and his wife, who is also notorious from that show. But Carl does a pretty good job of ripping them to shreds as usual.
I don't really want to hear his wife, I have to tell you. I just always found her to be... First of all, I couldn't figure out why she was even with him. It seemed like an odd pairing, although they're both swingers. And I mean, other than her swinging, I couldn't figure out, is there something I don't know about her that's interesting? I don't think so.
No, she's
not
a swinger.
Really.
Is Brent doing well on his new platform?
So that's essentially, they get into that on the latest episode of Who Are These Podcasts. And it's interesting. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of listeners. It doesn't sound like there's a ton of viewers whenever he posts these Twitch videos.
I wouldn't think so. I really wouldn't. You know, and this happens all the time when you have someone as successful as Howard, is there will be some producer or some player in the show, whether it's Jackie Martling. Stuttering John, you know, who go out on their own and say,
Artie,
hey.
In a way.
Artie. Except that Artie blew it. Artie was fired.
He did. Artie was so good on that show. I loved hearing those episodes.
Can someone tell me where Artie Lang is? He stopped doing his
podcast.
He's
getting help. He looks great.
Well, Brandon, but he stopped doing his show. He looked great then. He was putting out like two shows a week, sometimes three, and then all of a sudden, nothing. About 2 weeks go by, and people are like, what happened to Artie? And Artie said, I'm not sick. Everything's cool. I'm just taking some time off. And nobody believed him.
But he looks good.
Well, I haven't seen him lately. When's the last time you saw him?
You see.
He hasn't been tweeting since April, but the last photos,
he looked great.
Looked like a different person. He looked like he wasn't. I mean, he was losing weight. The nose, obviously, is flat, but he had said that like somebody is going to fix his nose once he's 1 year sober or some shit like that. Right. So we can expect him to have a brand new nose.
Oh, no, man, you're looking good. You've been working out?
I'm sure he'll be fine. I just didn't understand.
Your new nose looks great.
There was no explanation for why everything just stopped all at once. And every time it stopped before was because he suddenly could no longer deliver the goods. The trend was he would start skipping shows, being late for shows, you know, canceling shows, rescheduling shows, you know, on and on. And then he'd disappear. And then he'd go to rehab. And then a couple months later, all of a sudden, it's like, I'm back. And he's right back on the road doing show after show after show. And then he overwhelms himself. And then this time, it seemed like he was really in a good place. And he sounded sharp as hell. And I was really happy for him. But then all of a sudden, it all came to a stop in mid-February. He has not done a podcast since then. I guess he's done some shows.
Really?
Yeah, because people were said, hey, I thought he was taking a break. He was in, you know, blah, 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 doing shows a couple weeks ago. Now, this was months ago. I don't know what he's done lately, or, you know, maybe he literally is just trying to get better and nothing else. I mean, good for him. I hope he is. And then...
has he tweeted anything?
No, he has not been tweeting anything. And he was always tweeting. Yeah. It seemed like even when he's in rehab, he would tweet.
April 2nd, yeah, last
but,
month.
You know, Stuttering John has a podcast, which we've heard a lot about from Carl. And Brent... I realize he's been on this gigantic platform being on Howard Stern's show and getting a lot of attention on the Howard Stern show, but I thought he made a big mistake because I never found anything that was all that fascinating about him besides the fact that he and his wife were swinging and they told great stories, but that's kind of a one-horse...
Well, I was going to say, there's his podcast right there for three
episodes.
Yeah,
but there was also, there was a lot of hidden messages of extreme drug use leading him to have... seizures, and he had some wild, crazy times in L.A. when they did that whole series.
No, that was all interesting, but as far as content, I just wasn't sure how this guy was going to generate, you know, huge piles of content that everyone or a lot of people would want to hear. I mean, you don't need that many, but a couple hundred thousand people, maybe, to, you know, get somewhere. Yeah. I mean, to leave that platform... and say, hey, I'm going on my own, I can do better. I mean, because that's what it says immediately, is that, you know, working for Howard Stern isn't where it's at. It's me! And, you know, he left. Yes. He was with Bubba the Love Sponge when Bubba was doing well. I guess he's a great producer. Huh? And Bubba was real successful. I don't know what Bubba's doing now, to be honest.
I think he's doing
a small FM or something, or podcast. Mm-hmm. There's always interest in Bubba. I mean, I think he has an audience that will travel with him. Sure. But they had some falling out, and then he landed. I think wasn't there an in-between Bubba and Howard, like a few years in there, where he wasn't doing anything?
To tell you the truth, I don't know that much. I do know that I think Bubba is back in, like, Tampa and Orlando with his show.
Is he on the air?
I think so.
Really? He's always, Mark.
I could be wrong.
He's always on a bad signal or an AM station, yeah. And it never can quite reach the levels close to where it used to be or compete with his old station where Mike Calta is.
That's right.
But I know his podcast was doing okay. I used to see him. And then his parody guy left, who was very popular.
Yeah.
And I don't know what effect that had on him or not, but he's always putting something out there for what it's worth. Anyway, let's get out of here. And Carl, can you check out? Well, he was just listening to Brett Hatley, so he can give us all the lowdown.
Hey, Carl. Good to see you.
His given name is Carl, and he likes to be called Fart Face.
It's possibly the most mispromoted appearance in the show's history, as I kept thinking Carl was coming on last week. And then I would correct myself, and then I would re-promote him for last week. But it's actually this week, Thursday, Carl from WATP, who are these podcasts? And I want to hear the Brett Hatley show. Oh, and I saw Rob Lowe's podcast is getting all kinds of attention,
of course, yeah.
Because Gwyneth Paltrow was on, and Rob Lowe's wife taught her how to blow people.
Yeah, cool.
It was nice that she mentioned, too, that she thought she was so cool because she was with Keanu Reeves at the time, which immediately makes you think about her blowing Keanu Reeves with this incredible technique.
Wait, who didn't Rob Lowe have someone else on, and we were joking about...
He had Magic on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had Chris Pratt on.
So him and Magic talk about attaining the HIV, and then Magic brought up, what about that time you made that video in that hotel with that 15-year-old?
I want to say, half of the show with Magic is them laughing.
Oh, God. I'm sure it's genuine.
No. They should have brought in some Donald Sterling clips and broke them down.
It would have been interesting.
Oh, boy. So, all right, we'll be back tomorrow with Trudy and, again, Carl A. this week. And we're getting some other interviews warmed up here. Thanks to Ann McDonald from Unsolved Mysteries for turning up today. And maybe we'll get to Magic City, the strip club, and find out about their carryout, which sounds so good after a funeral.
Yeah, you like your little stripper whore? You like her?
Who doesn't like to watch a naked woman swing around on a pole?